Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. Wow, we've got our usual cast members already live and waiting in the waiting room to come on. Everyone's very excited about today's topic, which is, well, there's a few topics, but the main one we want to talk about is rules for thee and not for me. And, of course, that is in reference to how the Democrats are treated differently than the Republicans in just about everything related to politics and you know, FBI and investigations and the law, the rule of law. So let us bring in Elizabeth is here. Let's bring her in. Hello, happy Sunday, Elizabeth.
Well, happy Sunday. I made it through a red light camera lights without getting a ticket. I'm driving. I didn't get home in time. Happy Sunday to everybody. I was like focusing on the show and the driving.
Yeah. I'm going to bring in Mom. Here we go.
Awesome. Good afternoon, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, guys.
It's a beautiful day. I had no chickens taken by the bobcat this week, so it's been a good week.
Yay.
So, yeah, no fatalities this week, so that was the good news. There's more
that
good news,
good.
But that's the best
that is
news.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I am glad. I had to think about you this morning and the bobcat. As I fed my horde of animals that depend upon me, and I'm like, we're supposed to do. We'll keep that balance of life. I believe it was the Lion King little song came into my head.
he looks like the Lion King. He came back, but he couldn't get at my time. I had them on lockdown, so.
Cool.
Oh, geez. Well, yeah.
I want to tell you, I tapped into...
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to have a little fun because that's what we need is a little fun. I just played, a child of the 70s played a video game with children of the 2020s. And they were, oh my God, they'd never...
Oh, you're breaking up a little bit, Elizabeth. Are you driving through a dead zone, maybe?
I am driving, so you can hear me. Why don't you do the show?
Yeah,
and we can talk later. Yeah.
When you get in, okay, cool. So
yeah,
I wanted to start with the past, and how the FBI handled previous cases of classified information. Someone who was not able to classify or declassify the information that she was sharing and how that was handled versus declassified information that was declassified by the person who was able to declassify it, meaning President Trump, and did declassify all of the classified information that was in his home, and how they treated this person, Trump, versus how they treated Hillary Clinton, Secretary Clinton at the time. And so I want to go back to Comey. I believe this was 6 years ago. Hold on one sec. Comey Clinton. No, that one's too long. Okay, here we go. This is a little over a three-minute clip of the press conference that Comey had about Hillary Clinton. And this was, I believe it was on either July 4th or July 5th, 6 years ago. So here we go.
Now let me tell you what we found. Although we did not find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws governing the handling of classified information, there is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information. For example, 7 email chains concern matters that were classified at the top secret special access program at the time they were sent and received. Those chains involve Secretary Clinton both sending emails about those matters and receiving emails about those same matters. There is evidence to support a conclusion that any reasonable person in Secretary Clinton's position or in the position of those with whom she was corresponding about those matters should have known that an unclassified system was no place for that conversation. In addition to this highly sensitive information, we also found information that was properly classified as secret by the U.S. intelligence community at the time it was discussed on email. That is, excluding any later up-classified emails. None of these emails should have been on any kind of unclassified system, but their presence is especially concerning because all of these emails were housed on unclassified personal servers, not even supported by full-time security staff, like those found at agencies and departments of the United States government, or even with a commercial email service like Gmail. I think it's also important to say something about the marking of classified information. Only a very small number of the emails here containing classified information bore markings that indicated the presence of classified information. But even if information is not marked classified in an email, participants who know or should know that the subject matter is classified are still obligated to protect it. And while not the focus of our investigation, we also developed evidence that the security culture of the State Department, in general and with respect to the use of unclassified systems in particular, was generally lacking in the kind of care for classified information that's found elsewhere in the U.S. government. With respect to potential computer intrusion by hostile actors, we did not find direct evidence that Secretary Clinton's personal email domain, in its various configurations since 2009, was hacked successfully. But given the nature of the system and of the actors potentially involved, we assess we would be unlikely to see such direct evidence. We do assess that hostile actors gained access to the private commercial email accounts of people with whom Secretary Clinton was in regular contact from her personal account. We also assess that Secretary Clinton's use of a personal email domain was both known by a large number of people and readily apparent. She also used her personal email extensively while outside the United States, including sending and receiving work-related emails in the territory of sophisticated adversaries. Given that combination of factors, we assess it is possible that hostile actors gained access to Secretary Clinton's personal email account. So that's what we found. Finally, with...
Okay, and then of course he goes on to say that, you know, no reasonable prosecutor would bring charges. Now I'm going to play another clip. You may need to adjust your volume on this. I'm not sure how the sound is going to be. It might be a little bit too loud. So just, you know, turn it down if you need to. But this is, you know, I mean, this is kind of boring stuff. So what I want to play is a little bit more of a musical rendition of this whole debacle, Secretary Clinton and James Comey. And then, and I'm bringing up the past because, you know, people kind of tend to forget this stuff, but we don't here on this show. And I've even seen people try to justify it. Well, Hillary Clinton never said that, you know, never took the fifth under oath, you know, so, you know, why did Donald Trump have to do it? You know, I mean, just crazy stuff. Clearly she's guilty, but let's put a little musical spin on this. And I would, you know, turn the volume down if you need to. So here we go.
Good morning. I'm here to give you an update on the FBI's investigation of Secretary Clinton. What I want to do is tell you what we're recommending. But first, let me tell you what we found. 110 emails and 52 email chains have been determined to contain classified information.
What difference at this point does it make?
8 of those chains were top secret. 36 of those chains secret. And 8 contained
would know law, no regulations.
Secretary Clinton should have known that an unclassified system was no place for that conversation.
I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email.
None of these emails should have been on any kind of unclassified system, not even Gmail.
But first of all, nothing was marked classified.
To the contrary.
Nothing was marked classified.
There is evidence. Now let me tell you what we found.
Oh my gosh.
110 emails.
It was not the best choice.
52 email chains.
It was a mistake.
Have been determined to contain classified information.
And what difference at this point does it make?
8 of those chains were obsolete.
What's the best choice?
6 of those chains.
I said it was a mistake.
8 contained confidential information.
And what difference at this point does it make?
With respect to our recommendation, it's going to be an unusual statement in at least a couple of ways. Although there is evidence, our judgment is that no prosecutor would bring such a case. I know there will be endless public debate. I know there will be endless public debate. I know there will be endless public debate. Public debate.
What difference at this point does it make?
110 emails.
It wasn't the best choice.
52 email chains.
I made a mistake.
Have been determined to contain classified information.
What difference at this point does it make?
8 of those chains were
obsolete. It was not a good choice.
6 of those chains.
I said it was a mistake.
What difference at this point does it make?
Okay, so I'm not sure how clear that came through. I could hear it, but that's why I played the first one, because it's basically the first video is basically everything that the second video says, except no reasonable prosecutor would ever charge, you know, bring charges against this person. What? Now here we are just, you know, 6 years later with the FBI raiding the home of a president. This is unprecedented. This has never happened before. And he had ultimate power to declassify anything that he wanted to. He was already, cooperating with the FBI, had been for months. So, you know, this whole thing really stinks. Mom, do you have any of the articles up that, you know, that we've been kind of sharing since this started? Or
do
you want to save that?
I do. And,
okay.
And I want to take it back even just a little bit further, although the first thing that I'd like to say is that day was a day in infamy. The FBI showed itself to be corrupt that day. Now, it was shocking. It was horrifying. As we listened to that press conference, it pissed everybody off. It pissed off the right, how and shape his face to excuse her treason at a press conference. But even before that, Barack Hussein Obama took home 31 million documents and has never let anybody look at them. And neither of their homes were raided, even with all of the evidence that they had on Hillary Clinton. And now, and I'm not suggesting they had quote unquote evidence on Barack Hussein Obama, but nobody ever made a peep about those 31 million documents that he took home. All of it is ostensibly for something that every president does, which is to build their presidential library.
Yeah.
Okay. Not Hillary Clinton. She had no right to any of it on a private server. The argument could be made that both President Trump and President Obama had every right to have those documents. And I will tell you right from the start, the documents that he has at Mar-a-Lago have been declassified. And I have the article started off right here. Where's my mouse? There it is. Okay. It says, and this was an article from May, because they started back then in May. There was, again, the lame steam press, President Trump, who's got classified documents. This article is from May. It says the White House counsel failed to generate the paperwork to change the classification markings, but that doesn't mean the information wasn't declassified. So documents at Mar-a-Lago classified were already declassified. So there was a big tranche, T-R-A-N-C-H-E, of documents that Trump declassified, and those are the ones that he took home. pop quiz. Does anybody remember what those documents were, the big mess of documents that he declassified right before he left office?
Was it about Russiagate, Spygate?
Crossfire Hurricane. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, Crossfire Hurricane. He declassified all of them, and this is speculation, but I believe that there were more that he declassified. So we'll see. Okay. So right from the start, we have an article from Breitbart News that, and this was, this article is dated May 5th. Okay. And this is long before, and so keep in mind, Danielle, you were correct. The FBI has been talking to the Trump administration since before May about the stuff that he took home. Okay. And there's a lot to do with the National Archives and what Trump can have and what he can't. Come to find out, there's more stuff about the people running the National Archives as well. But this article from May says, Kash Patel, a former top administration official, told Breitbart News on Wednesday, again in May, that a report claiming classified materials were found at Mar-a-Lago is misleading and that the documents were actually already declassified by then-President Donald Trump, but the classification markings had not been updated. Trump declassified whole sets of materials in anticipation of leaving government that he thought the American public should have the right to read themselves, Patel told Breitbart News in a phone interview. The White House counsel failed to generate the paperwork to change the classification markings, but that doesn't mean that the information wasn't declassified. I was there with President Trump when he said, we are declassifying this information. This story is just another disinformation campaign designed to break the public trust in a president that lived on transparency. It's yet another way to attack Trump and say he took classified information when he did not. So right, this was a story, and this story was the very first one that I started storing after all of this stuff happened the day of the raid, which was Monday at dawn with, it looked like to be about 80 FBI agents. So, which article, Danielle, would you like me to look at next?
Well, actually, let me go back a little further in history and play a five-minute clip. It's a Jimmy Dore. And This is Ron Paul from, I believe, 40 years ago predicting what's going on now. So here we go.
Cool.
Guess what? We're talking about the FBI. Here's what Ron Paul said about the FBI. You know, the FBI is doing a political hit job on the establishment enemy, Donald Trump. Why? Because they can't beat Donald Trump at the ballot box. I don't mean just the Democrats, the Republicans either. So they know if Donald Trump wins, he'll probably win the Republican nomination and he'll be president. So they can't have that. And so the FBI just raided Mar-a-Lago and they're trying to pin a crime on Trump that would preclude him from running for office again, because they can't beat him. So here's what Ron, so now the Democrats are loving the FBI, which has always been an enemy of the left, but the Democrats aren't left anymore. The Democrats are a right-wing party and an establishment party. So here's what Ron Paul said 30 years ago about the FBI.
Different groups in this country, including the churches, who disagree with the policy in Central America, it almost looks like the FBI was designed to spy on Americans who might be disagreeing with policy, especially the foreign policy.
You think?
So the FBI, although I don't think I could condemn everything they've ever done, because I'm sure some of the investigations and investigation of crime has been beneficial, but that could be accomplished through Justice Department within our states. We wouldn't reject that portion of it. But I think the FBI has kept and continues to keep a lot of records on a lot of individuals. The CIA has only been here since 1947. Their record is lousy.
So that's when you love a guy like Ron Paul, right? I disagree with him on health care and things like that, but I super agree with what he just said there. And he was on to something. And now people like Nina Turner, people like shit-lib Democrats would say that they don't want to work with him to defund the FBI. Why? Because the Democrats are pro-FBI. That's why. And so now that the right wing is finally calling for defunding the FBI because they see how corrupt they've been through Russiagate and now with Trump in Mar-a-Lago, you would think that the Democrats would be calling for, oh, my God, let's finally, they have a moment. We have a moment now where Trumpers agree with the Democrats on a policy, and who cares what reason they agree with you on. Let's do something about it. There's the BREATHE Act. Look, can you look up the BREATHE Act? The BREATHE Act, if it's in Congress, the BREATHE Act.
Mm-hmm.
Type in the BREATHE Act.
You got it.
Yeah, the BREATHE Act is a visionary bill to divest our taxpayer dollars from brutal discriminatory policing and invest in a new vision of public safety. Now, I'm pretty sure that bill is waiting to be voted on in Congress. Yeah, there it is. Champions of the bill include Ayanna Pressley. So there you go. So they have an act in there, and so now if you were a Democrat who was anything like you pretended to be, you would go, great. Now we've got a chance to defund the FBI. Now we've got a chance for reform inside our criminal justice system because for whatever reason we have some of the people on the right agreeing with us. So now let's take advantage of this. No, that's not what they're doing. They're using this to call them names and flip them off. Oh, you guys, you didn't think like this before. Yeah, I know, but they think like this now. But they did think like this before. This is the libertarian wing. This is Ron Paul. So they don't want to work with him. They don't want to work with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They don't want to work with anybody who's on the right. Why? Because that's the establishment game to keep us divided. And if we start seeing that we have a common enemy, like, who, I don't know, the feds, that would be bad for the establishment. And the Democrats can't help themselves but call everybody who's their political opponent a white racist, a white nationalist, and a fascist. Anybody who they disagree with is a fascist, white nationalist, racist. And I'm sure they'll do that. They've done it to me. They've done it to, and I'm left, more left than all of them. I'm more left than all of them. And that's why they call me alt-right and conservative, all that stuff, because I'm to the left of them, and it makes them look bad. He's to the left of the Democrats on the FBI, and it makes them look bad. Anything you'd like to say about Ron Paul saying all that stuff, Kurt?
You can have them work together. Republican did it. Make sure we're the only hope.
That's right.
So it has to be a solution where we are in power and there's no...
But they don't want a solution. They don't want... The Democrats don't want a solution
also,
to the FBI.
Also, we don't want a solution.
And also, they don't want a solution. That's right. So again, there you go, Ron Paul. I would gladly work with Ron Paul to help defund the FBI. I think we should get rid of the FBI. I don't like them. Don't want them. Don't need them.
Well, that movie came out about... Edgar Hoover.
Oh, yeah.
It was designed just to hunt down people maybe being disloyal. It's like a... It's almost like CIA-ish.
It's like Gestapo.
Like, yeah.
They're like the Gestapo. Their enemy is the American people.
Yeah.
The FBI's enemy is the American people.
And always have been. And always have been. Okay, so now, I mean, do you want to talk about the judge? I mean, because that's definitely the next part of this.
So we went through a timeline as it was happening, and we were posting articles over on Telegram we called FBI Raid. And as the day went on, it came to everyone's attention that the judge that signed off on this warrant was a Florida circuit federal judge. So they started digging into this guy. It turns out this judge, first of all, 2 weeks ago, recused himself from the lawsuits that Trump filed against the federal government for Crossfire Hurricane. Right before he recused himself, he removed James Comey and Andrew McCabe from the lawsuit, let them go. I don't have any idea on what grounds, but he did. Then he recused himself from that case, and he popped up, and he's the judge that signed the warrant for Donald Trump. So then we go digging into this guy's background, and it turns out that he was appointed Barack Obama to the bench. He was on the bench for quite a few years, and then he stepped down from the bench to become the attorney of, here we go, Jeffrey Epstein. This is the judge that got all of those nasty non-disclosure, approved all of those nasty non-disclosure, excuse me, let me rephrase. This is the attorney for Jeffrey Epstein that got all of the non-disclosure agreements with all of the victims in Florida, in Florida courts. He's also the one that, with a lot of the victims, there's more. Hold on. I'm going to get to those articles. I'm going to read them about you. It says right here.
Lily's with us. I'm going to bring her in, but continue in just a sec.
Okay. So, hi, Lily.
Hi, my love. How are you?
I am.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited you're here. We're chopping it up, dear.
I'm excited to be here. I'm sorry I'm late. It's finals, and I forgot what day it was.
That's fine. No, right. You're welcome anytime.
Hello, Lily. I'm here, too. I'm just politely listening in the background, but I'm here. So
good to be with you.
Lily, what is your course of study?
I'm getting my master's degree in clinical counseling and trauma work with children.
Nice. So are you going to be an LPCC?
That's the goal.
Yep.
It's the goal if I ever finish this.
you're going to finish it. You're going to finish it. I all I need to do is my practicum, and I'll be there with you. How exciting.
That's so exciting. We need better counselors, so I can't wait till you are one because you'll be amazing.
CC, you go. So right now we're kicking around, speaking of childhood trauma and pedo-gate, the magistrate who signed off on the warrant to raid Mar-a-Lago turns out got himself quite a little history. And so I'll talk a little bit about his history. I'm playing around with that right now, looking for articles. So here we go. I've got an article from the New York Post, and it's dated August 9th. I think this is the day after the raid. It says, the Florida federal magistrate judge who signed off on a search warrant authorizing the FBI raid of former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort donated to Barack Obama's 2008 presidential campaign months after he left the local U.S. attorney's office to rep employees of convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, who had received immunity in the long-running sex trafficking investigation of the financier. Sources tell the Post that Judge Bruce Reinert approved the warrant that enabled federal agents to converge on the palatial South Florida on Monday and what Trump called an unannounced raid on my home. Reinert was elevated to magistrate judge in March 2018 after 10 years in private practice. That November, the Miami Herald reported that he had represented several of Epstein's employees, including, by Reinhardt's own admission to the outlet, Epstein's pilots, his scheduler, Sarah Keelan, and Nadia Marcinkova, who Epstein once reportedly described as his Yugoslavian sex slave. Gross. Keelan and Marcinkova were among Epstein's lieutenants who were granted immunity as part of a controversial 2007 deal with federal prosecutors that allowed the pervert to plead, they call him a pervert, to plead guilty to state charges rather than federal crimes. Epstein wound up serving just 13 months in county jail and was granted work release. According to the Herald, which cited court documents, Reiner resigned from the South Florida U.S. Attorney's Office effective on New Year's Day 2008 and went to work for Epstein's cohorts the following day. Found dead in August 2019 of an apparent suicide in the Manhattan Correctional Epstein didn't kill himself. Manhattan Correctional Center, while awaiting trial on federal sex trafficking charge, had hired a stable of high-powered lawyers for his defense in the late 2000s, including, interestingly enough, I didn't know this, former independent counsel Ken Starr. Did you guys know that? And 10 months after starting work for Epstein, co-conspirators, according to Federal Election Commission record, Reiner gave $1,000 directly to the Obama campaign and another $1,000 to its fundraising arm, the Obama Victory Fund. Reiner was also named in the civil lawsuit by two of Epstein's victims that accused him of violating Justice Department policies by switching sides in the middle of the Epstein investigation, suggesting he had spilled inside information about the probe to build favor with notorious defendant, the Herald reported. Who knew? Okay, so we have the same cast of characters, and I'd just like to read you something that's running this investigation, if you want to call it that. It said, just remember, the same intelligence agency is going hard after Trump literally ran the Epstein Island blackmail pedophile operation, tell a normie today. This is an incredible time to red pill your normie friends and family. The deep state is completely exposing themselves to the world, and we haven't even gotten to the crimes against children or humanity like we will soon. So it's the same people running this operation that ran the Epstein, let them get away with what they did, with what Epstein did. So there's this thing from a lot of people keep saying Mossad, 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 okay, that Jeffrey Epstein was Mossad and that was why he was allowed to get away with and continue his activities. Well, to the point, it says every time Epstein's name comes up, try to distract from the key role of the U.S. intelligence agencies also who allowed him to get away with this crap, okay? Our own intelligence agencies knew this man was doing what he was doing. As a matter of fact, he was running around with what? Another ex-president, Bill Clinton, okay?
Absolutely.
And
let me just say really quick, we have three listeners. Now we have two listeners, but welcome. If you guys want to be a part of the show, press one. But if not, we're glad you're here. Go ahead.
Okay. So the global cabal just doesn't run the Mossad. They run the CIA and many U.S. intelligence agencies. The direct involvement of U.S. intelligences and LEO agencies in what Epstein and other sex traffickers and blackmailers was doing will not remain hidden. And you can quote me on that. That's Brian Cates, another one of the Telegram channels that Danielle and I follow because he's got a ton of good information. So the first thing I want
I do have one caller with a hand up, so let's let them in
go ahead
and see what they have to say. Okay, awesome.
We got time for questions.
Hello, who's this?
Well, my. Well, how about that? You girls actually picked me up without my having to wait 2 hours. Isn't that sweet of you? This is Joe, by the way.
I'm what they call a deadbeat producer. So sorry about that. I'm trying to get better.
No, you got better today. Very, very, very much better, as a matter of fact. I wasn't waiting to get in. I actually didn't have my hand up. But I wanted to give kudos to you because you did mention, and it was a good thing that you had, to not only myself but other listeners, that you acknowledged that they were there and if they wanted to come in, to press one. Now, when I came here the very first time about a month or so ago, I told you you girls were recommended to me by Jumani and Lori. And I was glad that I came in because I had a very interesting discussion with all of you. But the last time I was here, which was, I think, last week, yes, I felt that you were treating me like a second-class citizen by making me wait about a half an hour or so. So I just thought I'd call in and give you girls a hard time. Is that okay?
Oh. Well, thanks for having
me. We get wrapped up or deep in our conversation. Look at the switchboard. So thank you. Thank you. We'll do better. Welcome, buddy. I remember you. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm glad I'm here. And the conversations that all of you are wrapped up in should be wrapped up in, because our country is in dire straits, as you know. So it's good that, you know, you have a 2-hour, 3-hour show to discuss any and all aspects of the country to try to help inform other people about what's going on. So I'm glad that you guys are on the air. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, very
thank
cool.
you. Nice to meet you, Joe.
Yeah, Lily's
so,
with us today,
I don't
too.
Really, yeah, I really don't have too much more to say. I was really just wanting to listen so that if anything just happened to pop up that I might know something about, I could join in. But I figured before I did that, I'd have to give you all a hard time. So that's all.
Oh, we love it. Thanks, Joe.
I'm going to put myself on mute and then join in when I hear something that I think maybe I can actually contribute to, okay?
Awesome. Okay. All right, Mom. If you want to go back to the list of the current events.
I do. Okay, so actually, and I probably should have started here. So to recap, on August 8th at about 5 o'clock in the morning, anywhere 80 to 90 FBI agents raided the home of former President Donald J. Trump. Many would believe that he's still the president, but that's a story for another day. Raided his home, okay? But backtracking that's the reason why the very first article I read was about something that happened in May. There were stories popping up about supposed articles or information that Donald Trump had at Mar-a-Lago that he wasn't supposed to have. They even went so far as to try to run a story that where they showed a toilet with bits of paper floating around in it, that when they found out that Donald Trump had these documents, that he was trying to flush them down a toilet, okay? And they took pictures of a toilet with toilet water in it and little bits of paper floating around in it. Well, what actually happened
was... Yeah, CNN ran with that one.
God. What actually happened was, back in May, some agents contacted Mar-a-Lago, or President Trump, and he said, here's the stuff that I have. It's not a big deal. None of it's classified. He told them that at the time. This is stuff for my presidential library. And they said, well, we'd like it to be a little more secure, so put a lock on it. And Trump did. So when they went in Monday morning, they went in with, again, booted and suited, and busted the lock off and took the documents. While they were there, apparently, they went through every room in the home, and they seized a bunch more, including photo albums, cocktail napkins, and a card, if you heard President Trump years ago, he got a letter from Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, and he showed it on television. It was a big card, a big blue envelope. He said, I'm not going to tell you what's in it. Maybe at some other time I'll tell you what's in it. You know how Trump is, always the showman, okay? And one of the other items was a cocktail napkin, and come to find out, another thing that they took was the census commutation of Roger Stone. I'm sure that more will come out of stuff that they took. As a matter of fact, there's articles down at the bottom of my feed, and I'll be able to read you some of the items. While they were there, Trump's attorney shows up. Her name is Christina Bobb, B-O-B-B. Remember that name, okay? And she said, show me the warrant. And they said, no, we don't have to show you the warrant. This is his attorney, okay? And then about a half an hour later, they walked up about 20 feet from her and held the warrant in their hands and said, see, here's the warrant. Don't come any closer.
You have to stand off the property. So they held it up so she could, and pretended like that was. Then, throughout the process, they were, the FBI agents were demanding that the staff turn off the security cameras, the closed circuit cameras, while they were doing their raid. We are living in a banana republic. To Joe's point, our country is in deep trouble. And to Danielle's point,
I just have to say really quick that if I see fake Dr. Jill wearing any of Melania's dresses, I'm going to be pissed.
God, somebody needs to help that woman dress. The rest of the time, she looks like she's wearing a shower curtain.
Okay, Melania
could teach her a little bit of something about fashion. They were in Melania's underwear drawers, going through Melania's closets for hours. These people are sick. And to Danielle's point, it's never happened before in the history of our country. I can't think of the last time when the FBI raided the home of a high-level official. Certainly not anybody with a D after their name. Certainly not Hillary Clinton, who is obvious, committed treasonous acts. And what did James Comey say? No reasonable prosecutor would. And if that's the case, no reasonable prosecutor would go after Trump either, who, by the way, has a higher level of security clearance and is able to declassify anything he wants. Clinton didn't. But she certainly broke every rule, every law in the book about the handling of classified information. Passionate about. So that was my opinion. Sorry. So watch this. There's a CNN segment that talks about Trump knew this was coming. Trump was counting on it. It was brilliant, their words. Within hours, he released a campaign-style ad that must have already had prepared to go. CNN knows somebody in the justice system fell for bait and just handed Trump the Republican nomination and maybe even a 2024 victory. So they did it to get rid of him. I think it will have the opposite effect.
Yeah.
Christina Bob, Trump's attorney, confirms that the seal warrant from Judge Reinhardt in Florida is the one that was used to search Mar-a-Lago. Okay. So we downloaded a lot of articles, a lot of information. I was listening to, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Glenn Beck. I listened to him once in a while. And while he was on his radio program the other day, he named off, and I don't know if you guys know this, literally 18 legal proceedings that Trump is fighting right now all at one time. This is just the last one in a list of 18, both civil and all of those are civil lawsuits. There's a couple of federal proceedings that are occurring. This man has, from the day that he walked down the escalator, has been fighting every organization that has any power at all in our country.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Well, I just wanted to, let me just break in real quick and just say hello. We've got another listener. So hello. Please press 1 if you would like to be a part of the show. If not, welcome.
Welcome. Who's ever listening? Good job. So to that point, that all that they're doing to this man, on top of that, this is another one of those cases that I was just talking about. It says, breaking, former President Trump's tax returns can be released to a House committee, a federal appeals court ruled. Anyone want to guess which federal appeals court it was? Take a guess.
New York.
That's a great guess. Correct. So another quote from a guy named Jim Bannon. What, does somebody want to make a comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. And then our caller raised their hand. So finish that up, and then we'll let them chat a bit.
So So J.D. Vance, who's a pretty good author, he's running for the Senate, I think, in Kansas. He said they had a warrant. They had a warrant in 2016, too, based entirely on fake political opposition memo. So warrants be damned. Anyway, go ahead and take your caller, Danielle.
I just wanted to thank you guys for being two really strong women, strong enough to really ask and look for the truth. So hats off. Keep it up.
That was nice. Thank you.
Awesome.
You're
sweet.
Appreciate
God bless you.
I look forward to sharing tons of information today. But was that Denise? No, maybe she... herself.
I'm sorry, I muted myself.
Oh. Well, I was actually asking if that the caller was Denise because at some point she's got, I'd like her to talk a little bit about the new CDC guidelines that just came out, but those will be for the good news hour, right? Okay. Let's see. So Here's what Danielle and I often do, and I want to take a little poll for everybody that's in the queue. Generally speaking, when they do something like this to Trump or like this, make a big production, right, the inference, or at least it seems to me, and Danielle, you can chime in, I'm sure you'll agree, that they do this stuff because something else is coming, and they're trying to get everybody to watch the birdies. So,
usually.
So, what do you think they were trying to get rid of this week? And somebody needs to mute themselves because they got a lot of background noise.
Yeah, I hear some background noise. Well, okay. So this is what I'm thinking. The new Mules video came out, the pit, that basically says that China hacked our election with our leader's permission. What else is going on this week? I don't know. What's her name? The one who's facing a primary this week.
Cheney, woohoo! Yep. Liz Cheney is going to get her ass whooped. She's down 30 points. That was for the good news report. That's coming up on, okay. Elizabeth, what do you think they were trying to distract from?
Well, yes, that move, the pit, that has the CDC whistleblower coming out telling us that we had three different shots. One was a placebo, one was an MRA DNA changer, and the third one was one that would reactivate and start all types of cancers and ugly diseases in the body, and that's huge and not a peep. I only saw one, just came through on one post on my feed, but that's huge. I'm going to say also, too, that they keep forgetting that the money. Trump is the only one who's been going up against the cabal, everyone's money. And it really has nothing. I think they throw in the pedophilia as another distraction, but they have stolen money from this country since '95. Catherine Austin Pitts, she's all over, the place on that.
Yeah, I agree.
And
whatever it takes, to make sure that he can't run in 2024. Yes, I agree.
And that too is this is to me. This is simply one long political ad campaign. You had Cheney come out, threatening that Donald Trump is a big threat to the Republic. And then the next day, they raid Mar-a-Lago. If it was going to read anything of substance, Trump would have been there. They would have arrested him. They've been arresting the entire world. They have arrested a senator on his vacation and took his phone with the same arrogant smile that the law doesn't apply to us. We don't have to have a warrant. Give us, and they take relish. They relish doing this. An older gentleman in the Trump administration, they arrested in a parking lot and took his phone with the same arrogance.
it's in up with all the 400 American citizens that one by one they've been going and arresting and putting in without bail. There's no bail or no trial for attending the Trump rally at the Capitol. We're living in North Korea. They don't want us to even talk about that. They,
just
you know,
a slight correction.
The law applies to be, not be.
The guy
and
Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi and her husband's insider trading with the chips and flying to Japan to ensure that that company trades those chips, that money. It's incredible.
Yeah.
You don't hear about any of that. So this is a big shiny ball. But it is a part of a bad, evil campaign.
Just a slight correction. Not a senator whose phone they took. It was a congressman. And we're going to get into that story. But, so people are fascists. Lily, what do you think we're being distracted from?
Oh, my goodness. There is so much going on. As Elizabeth mentioned, you know, like we do have whistleblowers from the CDC that we already knew this information, but now it is becoming, like, available to the mainstream. In addition to, you know, like whistleblowers coming out about monkeypox, the truth about that. And then also with the economy, the Fed is done. It has been done for a long time. They're just now talking about inflation and scaring people with that. But the truth is that we don't have an economy, and we haven't for a long time now. We just are pretending to still have one because it's an illusory system anyway. Sorry, I can't speak. And on top of that, China and Russia united to create the gold-backed currency standards, because the only thing really giving the dollar any backing, because it's not backed by anything, was the belief of Americans in its existence and our participation with it, as well as the petrodollar, because it was established that people could only purchase petrol and fuel and gasoline with the American dollar. So now that that's done away with, our economy is officially over, which I'm actually really excited about. I can't wait, because I think that, unfortunately, this is what this country needed, to unite people and actually stand up and do something instead of just, like, sitting and waiting for other people to join. And then, you know, they also are forcing to start to discuss the truth with the normies, or whatever you want to refer to the masses that don't pay attention sometimes as, respectfully. You know, they're now being forced to start to look at some of these things because they have an FBI that, and presidents and politicians and celebrities that have, you know, participated in trafficking, torturing, and harming children. There's so much. And the sovereignty, like sovereignty rights are starting to be an issue. The police are catching on to the existence of sovereignty, and actual laws, like not the legalese and, you know, the code violations of corporations, but actual natural law. And I know that this is the case because now when they have been arresting people, they automatically say that they don't buy into sovereignty or recognize sovereignty. However, because these people have created these contracts, they cannot get out of them. So we can leave contracts and choose who and when and how to contract with other people, but they cannot do that any longer because they have, you know, like assisted in establishing these contracts. So they're stuck with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful. I'm sorry. I'm so excited. All prophecies are being fulfilled, and I love it every minute of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And one quick side note about the trafficking is that, okay, so I'm sure that people are aware of the Netflix documentary about Epstein, right? There's also one I just saw not too long ago about Jimmy Savile, which is something that in my research I've known for many, many, many years about Jimmy Savile, having, you know, over 500 victims, having sex with dead bodies, all of these horrible things, and having the BBC cover up on them for him. Now that's another one. And of course, these are very like whitewashed stories, right? Documentaries. But Then just recently, Hulu came out with another documentary on Leslie Wexner, the creator of the Limited brand. So Victoria's Secret, Bath & Body Works, Abercrombie & Fitch, Lane Bryant, Harry Bendel, all of these, like, you know, brick and mortar stores that we've, that we've shopped at basically our whole lives. All of these people are getting, and of course, like I said, they are whitewashed, but it's enough for the normies to start saying, whoa, okay, well, my conspiracy theorist friend said this a long time ago. Maybe they were right about some other things, right? So a lot of normies are dipping their toes in the water. And hopefully, you know, this is going to be enough, since this veil is getting thinner and thinner, for enough people to wake up that we'll have a chance. That's all I got to say about that.
I believe it's coming. Can I jump in and say Taiwan? We don't know how important Taiwan is. I did a little investigation into the reparations that was owed from World War II. Because there was a bond, a 70-year bond, they kicked the can down the road for these reparations. And Japan owed $10 billion in 1952 to pay back for World War II. And
wow.
In the research I was doing, and they, all the other countries also owed money, but they were able to forego paying that with the stipulation that they would allow their economies to establish before they were able to pay that back, and it was kind of like a banker's deal. But Japan refused to pay theirs because they refused to acknowledge the existence or the sovereignty of the CCP, because they only came into existence in the 60s. And Japan owns and always has had Taiwan has been part of their ancestral lands. Never did it belong to China. But now if you listen to anybody, Taiwan's always been part of China. No, it hasn't. CCP decided we're taking Taiwan and that's ours. And they've been struggling with their sovereignty. They've been allowed to have democracy. China's decided, no, we're taking it back. And now China is doing virtual live war games, as in we're attacking and this is our island and we're doing nothing about it. And that kind of like goes into play with, wow, $10 billion in 1952. Can you imagine what that would be now? And the result of all of these not paying the reparations, like the Soviet Union, they owed money, but they decided they're not playing ball. And, oh, it was the Sherman Act, I believe is what they called it, the Sherman Treaty. And that's what prompted the Cold War between us, was they're not paying it. In Asia, that's why we had Korea. That's why we had the Korean War. We had the Vietnam War. The unspoken, all of these skirmishes to deflect from the fact that they were not going to pay back all this reparation money. But Taiwan, I think Taiwan is the big story that nobody wants to talk about.
I agree. So I can tell you that I asked the question because I had a little blurb. This week was the last week deadline for the FBI to turn over the information they have about Hunter Biden's laptop, and also it was one year anniversary this week of us leaving Afghanistan in disgrace.
Today, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
let's talk about anything else but those two
particular things. And I have to tell you, the way we left Afghanistan was another one of those things that they're going to lose everything in the 2022 midterms. And keep in mind, it's almost 4 o'clock. I definitely want to celebrate.
And you know what? As far as that goes, the stirring up ghosts of the past, they killed the head of the Al Qaeda, you know, not too long ago, droned them, yay for us. Like, what? How did that work? And this week they stabbed Rusty. Solomon Rusty got stabbed with a poison dagger. And I was just like, did we fall back into the 1980s when the portal opened up? But this is all taken away. Yeah, it's constant.
Put a fatwa on Solomon Rusty the name of the book that Satanic.
Oh, Satanic Verses.
Satanic Verses, yeah. It was 1989. Solomon Rusty's going to lose his eye. They think he's going to make it, but he's going to lose his eye.
Okay, and on that note, it is 4 o'clock, so I think it's time for some good news.
Oh, we need some.
Yes, we do. Let it rip.
Okay. So the first thing that I want to say for the good news report, I'm going to go right to the 2022 midterms. Liz Cheney is going to lose her primary day after tomorrow, and I will be dancing in the streets as that occurs. She's running against her primary opponent is called Harriet Hageman, and right now Liz Cheney is 30 points down from Hageman. So that would mean that every single Republican Congress critter that voted for the impeachment after January 6th will have lost their primary and or
Trump celebrating right now. I saw the numbers. Oh, yeah. This woman
she's
has against her 27%.
So it's really 30. She's going to get her ass kicked all over the state of Wyoming, and it's a pretty big state, and I will be celebrating that. She did get the coveted Al Franken endorsement today, though, so I don't know. things could change. I don't know. We'll have
did he
to
do
see.
It by grabbing your boob?
Danielle, okay, you know the memes were flying the minute we heard it, right? They said that was a real headline grabber. Get it? Okay. So more 2022 stuff. Where is it? Where's all my folders? Somebody got rid of my folders. They just went down. My goodness. Where did all my folders go?
The award was that the I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and God darn it, people just like me, that award.
That's him.
The one.
Yeah,
but you know what? I got to say that I say that to my dog every day, and she seems to like it.
Of course. Yes. Molly.
Her daily affirmation.
Yep.
Right. So Danielle alluded to, just kind of briefly, and so did Elizabeth, the 1,000 mules came out, and everybody said, oh, shit, they have actual evidence that 2020 was stolen, and there it is. And it was in the movie 2,000 Mules. And if anybody had any doubt that the 2020 election was stolen because of COVID, you know, the ballot stuffing, you were left with no doubts, okay? But at the end of the movie, and it was just a quick little – Nala, I'm going to kill this dog. My dog is a pest. Okay. So I'm not going to do too long because she's really kind of bugging me, but at the end of the movie, and it
just
was just
throw
a quick
the frisbee.
Little burb.
Don't be a monster.
I can't do all of that at the same time. I can't operate the computer, operate the phone, and throw the frisbee. I'm just not that talented. Anyway, at the very end of the movie, this was after the credits. This was after everything. It said, pull the ripcord. That was the hashtag, pull the ripcord. That was the last scene, the last frame of the movie. And nobody knew what that meant, okay? And so, of course, you know, we're like, oh, that sounds cool. What does that mean? Well, it turns out as they were gathering the documented video evidence of these mule ballot traffickers, They said, well, now what do we do with the information? Well, they didn't ask, but we're like, now what do we do? Well, they already knew. They already had it set in place, okay? And what the plan was to do was to go to every local sheriff in the United States where there was ballot trafficking, where they have the video evidence and they have more than just video evidence, okay? They have a lot more than what they put in 2,000 mules, which, by the way, was enough to convince me, which I was already convinced. There, because local sheriffs have the ability to prosecute those people that committed those crimes. It's a crime to stuff 20 ballots in a ballot box, okay? So when we pull the ripcord, these local sheriffs are presented with the evidence of these crimes that were committed in their jurisdiction. The pit was a way to gather all of the citizen journalists, okay, new media, and you know, people from all of the jurisdictions to help them put it on in the media when they the evidence to these local sheriffs. So the pit yesterday and Saturday and Sunday, they called a whole bunch of people from all over the country, and they did a presentation of how they wanted to do it. Then they put out a package, basically, so that we can go and access and do it ourselves as well. So the idea is that you download these tools, right, marketing tools or talking points to take to your local sheriffs, your local city councils, to election boards all over the United States. So the first thing that I'd like to say is we are implacable. We will never stop. Ever. Second thing is that from day one, when we were running around with our hair on fire because we watched it happen, okay, I don't care what they say, we saw it. There's no way any of those things could have occurred without there being fraud. What can I do to help? General Flynn called us to action at the very beginning. He said local action has national impact. We are supposed to get involved in the way that we feel led to stop them, A, from doing it again, which I think is super important, and B, I'm not going to give up on 2020. I don't care how long it takes. And so the pit is a way for it basically like in a media format to be able to present it to anyone who you believe has a little bit of power, your local election board, your city councils, your local sheriff, and you take this information to them and say, I want you to do something with it. A crime was committed. So I'm excited about what's going to happen. It says there is an article on Telegram, and we have it saved in the election fraud J6 folder. If you want to be added to that folder so you can get a hold of this, but it was forwarded from the authority who is another big account on Telegram that I follow kind of, I won't use the word religiously because I don't follow anybody but Jesus Christ, but there is an open source resource for people, there will be, with action to create actionable intel. Intel will be provided to the sheriffs. They say the people that went to the pit said that it was awesome, that it was absolutely what they hoped it would be, not a lot of baloney like some of the other ones have been throughout the month since 2020. So that's really good news.
Brian Cates is saying it too.
He's one of the ones that went. The Authority went. The In the Matrix went. Tracy
yes.
Beans went. They were all there.
Oh, really?
Did she? Yes, she did. And to be able to send it out to us and tell us what we can do with it. So I'm excited about what's getting ready to come. So that, you know, to Lily's point, to Elizabeth's point, there's a lot happening under the surface, and we're not just sitting back anymore. We're excited and we're involved. So, and we're implacable and we're not going
to
stop.
Well, and you know what? This has to be done very carefully because
yes.
You can already see all of us can already see the writing on the wall. You know, that they're setting up people Ohio, Cincinnati, the guy walked into or tried to go into the to an FBI building. And yes. they with a an eight with an I was in there an AR-15 or an AK-47. I get those confused, but one of those two guns,
Danielle,
and a nail
Danielle,
gun. Yeah,
I was going to say it was a nail gun. Yeah, it was a nail gun.
No, both. Both. He had an AR.
Okay.
He didn't use the gun. He didn't use the assault weapon or whatever you want to call it. I don't even, I'm sure I'm pissing people off with my terminology already. But he used the nail mm-hmm. gun. He didn't even use the gun that he had, And so,
no.
And now, and of course, right after that, they kill him, number one. Yeah, right. And then they say he's Proud Boys and he was at 1-6. And this is what happens when you speak badly about the police,
the
all
FBI,
of this, how
yeah.
dare you people. This has to be done very carefully. Yes, we understand that the contract has been broken, right? They did not hold up their end of the bargain. But if we do this in a violent way at all, it will set this movement back. They
Absolutely.
Have to do it in any other way.
Okay, so, and I think we all can agree. And just for the record, I want to put it on record, just as Danielle just did it. They want us to do something like that. They've been trying to get us to do something like that since January 6th.
Poke, do crime.
Yeah, poke, do another insurrection. The raid on Mar-a-Lago, all of it, they're doing this on purpose to try to get to back up their claim that we are the worst threat to the United States. Okay, that and it's not true. Okay, it's not true.
Well, we are the worst threat to the to whatever is parading around as our government, but that's not who we
exactly.
signed our contract with. So we need to just turn
exactly.
our back. On the whole thing. The only thing that's
yes.
propping it up now is the power of public perception. If we turn our backs, they're finished. If we fight, we will lose. They literally have training manuals on how to take down and provoke, dangerous and violent demonstrations.
Right. And let's not forget that I don't believe it was the Arizona Capitol, or it might have been the capital of the U.S. Senate, they read off an entire 46 congressmen that signed off on the fact that the election was a fraud and needed to be decertified. That was swept under the rug. The only way you could get that out, it was a sponsored ad of her reading this, and then you heard nothing else about it. And this was last year. And then in the course of the year, you got all of these false flags, and you have all the demonization of anyone who speaks up against it. And now the catchphrase is election denier. Election deniers are just as bad as white supremacists. And they,
oh,
it's
yeah.
a psychological warfare. That yes, so you have to go
yeah. and
through
they're laying
the rule
it on
of law. Thick. And it's tedious,
all of these,
but it's like, no.
quote, unquote,
there's no
Proud Boys movements
mm-hmm.
that are going on right now where they're in this, they're coming to – what was it, some kind of big conference, young Republican conference, and then it's several others that, they got, quote-unquote, arrested for, trying to threaten gay pride in, Iowa, Idaho, somewhere. And they all are in the same uniform. Boston, they were all in the same uniform. It's like Fed Boy says what?
Yeah. You know what? These are the CIA and the FBI working as they control the opposition. They're playing their
part. They have a whistleblower right now coming out to say they were forced to pad the statistics of domestic terrorism. They can't even get – they keep saying that we're the worst threat, but they don't have any evidence of that, so they were trying to manufacture it. They were trying
exactly.
to manufacture that. So just as Danielle said, and just for the record, on air, I'd like to say don't do it. Because that's what they want you to do. And all of this is going to come out in the wash, okay? But they're trying to provoke us deliberately, okay? And it's not
yep.
going to work. And so to that point, I have an article that I'd like to read. I wouldn't necessarily call it good news, but it sort of points to what we're talking about. So So right after the raid, one of those really pleasant progressives, you know, the really nice progressive people that everybody says they just want to love everybody and help everybody, and that's what it means to be on the left. It's a freaking lie. First of all, they're a bunch of freaking fascists. We know one thing about anti-racism educator Tim Wise is having himself a day on Twitter. So this was right after the raid. The FBI raid, yes, and we said raid, and we're allowed to say raid, on Mar-a-Lago has him seeing the walls closing in again, and he seems to think that MAGAs, that's what they call us, like a reference to maggots, I'm sure, are going to advocate violence in response to Trump facing justice. That's a quote from Tim Wise. He doesn't sound very wise to me. We couldn't possibly post all of his tweets today because we don't have that kind of time, but take a look. He says, cry harder, MAGA, without ceasing. Your hero is going to be destroyed, and there's nothing you can do about it. Next tweet. When this is done and Trump is destroyed, the Dems should never let any – listen to this. The Dems should never let any Republican who apologized for him or sucked up to him ever claim to be an acceptable human being again. They're trying to dehumanize us. Wreck them all forever. This is the way these people think. Next,
well, it's
tweet,
okay.
I sort of hope the MAGAs act up in defense of their loser king so we can round them up and lock them up and end them too. Next one.
Well, and
you get it now, MAGAs, you're losing. Because most
no
people are deep.
The law. No one's
oh, yeah.
The law.
How many times did you hear that? How many times did you hear
that?
Okay. He says, do you get it now, MAGAs? You're losing because most people are decent, and decent people reject you and everything you stand for. We're done with your uneducated, like he can freaking write. I get my info from Facebook and Alex Jones' ass, and are putting you in the corner so adults can govern. Bye. Let's see. Is there more? No. So this is the way they think. They want to end us. Because, well, first of all, because
I call it
the other way. Okay. So don't give them what they want, okay? Because what they want is to be able to say, look at all those violent writing. Here's not just say, look at them. They really believe that we're out killing people every day. I don't know where they get their information from, but that's what they think. Anyway, just thought I would throw that out there.
Can I just say a few things? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So first of all, anti-racism. If he claims to be anti-racist, he would know that a very common tactic when with racism is to dehumanize, right? Like that's he's clearly racist. He wants. You know, well, I mean, I guess it's not based on a skin color, but it's, you know, I guess they're saying mostly white MAGAs. This person is a walking contradiction. I just have to say that. And second, I have to say that somebody was actually in front of me saying these things. I think it may be one of the only appropriate times to throw a Xanax in someone's mouth while they're speaking. I could be wrong, but. That's
well, you're
all
right.
I have to say about that.
Because, you know, this is what comes out of these think tanks. They know and learn how to manipulate and turn it around so that you look bad if you want to defend what is right. And that's where it comes from. They're brilliant manipulators.
Okay, so we have a caller that's listening. And I told you a little bit about her earlier that I thought that my new BlackBerry plant purchaser was going to listen today. And she wanted us to talk a little bit about, maybe we can, about all of the food plant burning.
I'm down.
Okay, I'm down for that too. I wonder, because we did that a few weeks ago and we were all stunned at the amount of just how radically that was happening. And so I wonder if there have been any more. Lily, are you up on that? I know you've been studying for finals, but have there been more since we covered this topic a few weeks ago? I do know they killed a whole lot of chickens.
There have been several in other countries as well. So not just focusing on this country anymore. There were over 150, I believe, was the last total that I saw of food plants that spontaneously, you know, of course, caught on fire or exploded in this country, not to mention all of the culling of cattle and chickens. And you would think the vegans would be really upset, but I haven't heard anything from them about this, you know, because of the mental gymnastics with protecting the environment and carbon from cows killing everyone. But anyway, I was really excited. Like, the only, like, food plant that I was so excited that burned down and I was, like, cheering with my children was in the Netherlands. They have one of Bill Gates' largest laboratories for creating fake food and supermarkets. And those exploded. And so I was really excited about that. I know. It was the best news ever. We toasted with, like, just, you know, the children's, like, sparkling grape juice. And we had a whole toast about that because it was great. But they're doing this.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's okay. You can go.
Well, I was going to say, I do know that we've had a shortage of fertilizer. So keep in mind, and what is the word you use instead of climate change, Danielle? What's yours? Protecting the environment or stewarding the
climate contamination.
Huh? Climate contamination. And that big farm, or, you know, big agriculture and their you know, too liberal use of fertilizers and pesticides. You know, we could agree on that's an issue, but it's gone all the way to the other end, and they stopped producing fertilizer. They prevented people from using fertilizers all over the planet, and now we're going to have okay.
So whatever, I have chicken shit, I'm okay.
Yes, and that is a trend that they are continuing within other countries now as well. Specifically in Canada, also in New Zealand, they are unable to get the fertilizers that they need. The Netherlands as well, yes. Although their protests in the Netherlands have been really phenomenal. I've been really excited to watch those. Like, they just warmed my entire soul. The one where the farmers got together and they brought their big rigs and things, you know, to block the police and government officials, and then they were utilizing, I don't know what the machine is called. I feel kind of dumb. But anyway, there's a machine that they make fertilizer with cow manure, and they were, like, shooting that manure all over those false authorities, and that made me really excited. I shared that in one of my albums. I can, like, find it again, and I'll put it in the group chat because it just, like, warms my heart every time I see it. And then, of course, Zelensky in the Ukraine just sold billions of acres of land to Monsanto, you know, and they are the world's third largest producer of wheat and grains. But it's all fine because these are, to me, these are, like, good situations. Obviously not cows and pigs and chickens being slaughtered. I think that's awful. To slaughter them in mass the way that they are.
They can't feed them.
But,
they
Right. That's the thing.
Yes, it's sad, but that's why they did it, because they can't feed them.
Right. And so the thing that makes me excited about all of this, though, even though it sounds terrible for me to say, is that all of these things that are occurring just push us to continue doing things that we should have already been doing, you know, as Danielle always talks about, taking back our resources, specifically food, mm-hmm. news, and health. And I would add water resources to that as well, because we could survive quite a long time without food, but not so much without water. But so, you know, mm-hmm. every time they do these things, it pushes us and forces us to be more responsible about our own resources and to make sure that we're growing our own food, you know, guerrilla gardening food all over our cities and communities where we live, And it will force us at some point to unite with our neighbors, you
right.
know, because
yeah.
we will need to trade food with each other or, you know, perhaps feed our neighbors that don't pay attention and cannot feed themselves without a grocery
yeah.
store. Like, all of those things are going to occur. And obviously, I don't want anyone to starve to death. But I do think that all this is necessary because this situation that we've been doing for hundreds of years is not sustainable and will never be sustainable. And we do not have a shortage of food. We have a problem with allocating the resources in a responsible manner. And that's
yeah.
why we have people starving to death. So if we can take back our food resources, then none of these things are concerning or problematic for us.
Absolutely.
Very well
yeah.
said.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Very well said.
And on that, so, thought of working neighbors working together, do you have that story about the cattlemen in Texas, Carla? Because
no,
I don't want to like blow.
It.
Oh well, then this I was going to send it. I'm like, but she'll see it. This is the best news ever. Is cattlemen in Texas got together, ranchers got together, and they put in $300,000 a piece to build their own meat processing plant. They pulled away from the system. They're culling 30% of their herd just because they usually will do that in times when it's hard to feed them. But we're not going to be without meat. It's not as draconially, you know, dismal as they want us to believe. They're doing this on their own accord.
What a great
they not,
story.
They will be not part of, the, you know, no one controls them anymore. They're the boss of them. So all of Texas is now going to be robust, full of red meat. And the upside of this is that because they're culling 30% of their herd, meat prices are going to go down. We're going to have a surplus of meat for a while. And in the meantime, they will not be subject to, oh, no, sorry, we got it handled over here. And it's like, that's what we do. And then I love the resistance that is working behind the scenes, how did that fire start with Bill Gates? I love that. That's great. And we're not going to let this happen. And that's a God wins moment, you know.
I agree.
Because we're not.
Yeah.
We're
what a
not
great
laying
story.
Down and, yeah.
What a great story.
Yeah.
There were some winds on the southern border this week. His name is Doug Ducey. He's the current governor of Arizona. Started using shipping containers, which, by the way, are speaking of climate. What's the word again? God bless it. I'm old. Climate contamination. Shipping containers, contaminators, right? And they just let them sit somewhere, and they rust into the soil. He's using old shipping containers to fill in a great big gap on the border. Joe Biden, even though I heard walls were racist, he started back building the border. Here it was in answer to, and this is kind of a funny story. The Texas governor and the Arizona governor started putting the flood of immigrants on buses and sending them to Washington, D.C. and to Virginia
mm-hmm.
and New York City.
Epic. Yeah.
Yeah, so
yep.
hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of migrants, and they're very upset about it. They're like, we don't have the resources to take care of these folks, and it's not nice of you to do that. And here's the thing. The first thing that I want to say is I happen to treasure our immigrant population. I think they're wonderful folks, okay, and they bring a lot to our country. They're hard workers. They believe in work and family and work, and that's their gig. I can drug and alcohol. I've been a drug and alcohol counselor for a lot of years, and I worked in DUI, driving under the influence in California, and we had a lot of folks that got caught in that trap, you know, because in Mexico, people drive with alcohol in their system. It's not illegal. So they come here, and they think they still can do that. Anyway, having said that, I happen to treasure them because of their work ethic, and I think that they're just great folks, but we can't have
1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 a day crossing our border and not have it have a huge impact on the states that they land in. So Governor Greg Abbott and Ducey started shipping them on buses to Washington, D.C., Virginia, and New York. And they're distressed over the flood of illegal immigrants that are hitting their cities because they don't have the resources supposedly for them. And they're like, well, what about those border towns that you've been, you know, letting them bear the burden all these years? This is what it feels like. This is why we're upset, because it's too many. It's too much. The resources are stretched too thin. It just can't happen. So that's another piece of good news, because they're hitting and they're finally starting to realize what all of us border cities have been dealing with for the last 50 years. It's a strain on our resources. It's a strain on our medical system. It's a strain on our education system. It's a strain on our criminal justice system. It's food, you know, all of it. And so, you know, the fact that they're actually having to deal with some of the policies that they espouse and the sort of unintended consequences of that, it warms the cockles of my heart.
I know.
I think that's all. But the final story is not necessarily, and I'm going to go, I'll let you go, Elizabeth, in just a second, is not necessarily good news, but it has to do with the story that we're talking about, because one of the people that, or one of the sets of people that have made literally billions of dollars because of the immigration policy that was put into place when Joe Biden became president are the cartels. If you don't know what the cartels are, they are criminal organizations, gangs of people who traffic humans across our southern border. Okay, everybody that comes across already went through a cartel to get what they call there's a little bracelet that gets put on their wrist. They make them pay for a bracelet. And on the way there, they're made into sex slaves, the women, and the young girls, the children. And they have to pay for their bracelet to get past the line of cartel, to get past the line of the United States. So in Tijuana, Mexico, sorry for the background noise, because I'm outside chickens. In Tijuana, Mexico, the U.S. Embassy told all American citizens that it's not safe to stay in Tijuana, that they need to leave immediately. There are factions, cartel factions, fighting each other in the city of Tijuana, and it's dangerous for American citizens. And so they pulled all of the embassy staff and families, and they told all American citizens to leave the city. So while it's not necessarily good news, I believe that kind of stuff will get the attention of whatever, whoever it is that's actually running our government. When they can't ignore it and pretend like it's not happening, they actually have to do something. They'll probably do something wrong and F it up, but at least it will bring enough attention to the situation of just how bad it is, and hopefully we'll get some action. So, does anybody have any questions or comments?
You know, what is that close to in our country, that town, do you know? Where is it?
We can throw a rock at it from where Danielle and I live.
Oh, really? Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, not really. Like, so I'm in Point Loma. Mom's in Carlsbad. I think Tijuana. Let me just look it up right now. I'll just map quest it from my current location.
It's 70 miles from me. It's about
like
20 miles from Dallas.
When we're listening to this immigration, we always think it's Texas, Arizona, and we forget about over there in California.
That's
interesting.
So it's about 70 miles from me. It's about 25 miles from Danielle. Before she, and correct me. See how close I got, Danielle.
I'm looking it up now. Hold on.
Okay.
Well, the sad thing is that, you know.
Let's see. Okay, hold on one second. International border.
Yes. Which is Tijuana.
21 miles.
I said 25 from you, so that means it's about 65 from me. So, yeah, so I maybe can't throw a rock, but if you looked at a map, it would look like I could. So, because we're right
there. I can
right
see
there.
It.
And yeah.
I can see Mexico from where we are.
Yes.
Has that story made the mainstream yet, that they're
no.
closing down our embassies? Because you know
not.
How concerned they are about our embassies after Benghazi.
Yeah,
sure.
I actually
yeah.
have a pretty good friend that lives in Tijuana. I kind of want to message her and make sure that she's okay. But,
oh,
all right,
yeah.
All right. That was one that nobody heard about, but it's very concerning to me because the cartels are out of control. They have tanks. They have a military-style operation. They are military. They're not just
oh,
a
yeah.
bunch of coyotes standing around with sombreros playing guitar. They're fully militarized. They have tanks. They have large weapons. They have body armor, the whole ditch. They're not playing. And so they're bringing in enough fentanyl every day to kill everyone in the United States. Every day crosses the border, okay? There was a huge bust in San Diego just this weekend.
Yeah.
Wow.
So our country is in distress, as our friend Joe alluded to. And so here's the good news. God is still sitting on his throne. He's the same as he was yesterday, as he will be tomorrow. He's the same today. He has not ceded his authority. So,
amen.
That is the good news. And I know he's not going to tomorrow either. So, all of this will, all manner of things will be well. And Lily is correct, because the more that we start to go, oh, I can't buy something at the grocery store, maybe I ought to plant a blackberry bush. More and more people are taking back their food security. And it is important that everyone that's listening to this show go out and plant some veggies, go buy some chickens, plant some blackberries, start growing your own food. Take control of your own resources, your own water resources, your own food resources, and don't worry, because God, do not fear. He says it 300 and something times in the Bible. Do not fear. I'm here. I haven't left, and I haven't ceded my authority.
Absolutely.
I want you guys to have a wonderful week.
Oh, you too, honey. You too. And I was just going to say that your works will be blessed. You will always bless your works. So you put a little effort into it, a little bit of faith, and you'll be blessed and protected.
Yeah, we picked our first avocados today.
Yeah.
Bless our work. We picked a whole mess of avocados, the first ones of the season. They're coming. I'm super excited about that. And Danielle's passion fruit is passionate down there. And so we're doing good. Yeah, my chickens, not so much, because everybody's scared because of the bobcat. So they're not really producing right now. They're just kind of being lazy witches, but that happens when they have a scare. They, it's not safe to lay these eggs here because my babies could die because of the bobcat. That's the chicken brain.
Well,
that's what it's thinking.
Feed that bobcat some fish. Go fishing and just leave some dead fish out there for him to feed him. And then he won't. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
All right. You guys have a blessed week. And I will see you next week with some more good news.
You too.
Okay, thank you. Love you.
A great amount of information, Carla. God bless you.
I love you, Carla. Okay.
That was great.
Thank you. Yay. So what do you guys want to talk about now?
Well, I'd love to talk about some of the things I learned this week, which was about the money. The Catherine Austin Fitz did a great interview with a guy from France. It was really hard to understand him, but she made it concise as what's been going on with the money that she's been noticing gone. Since 95, she's like, where's we're not balancing the books. Where's the money? The money's lost. The black budget ops. And they've just been kicking the can down the road. And then in, like, 96, she was talking with a guy, and he said, well, you know what? they gave up on the country. They just sent the money out of the country. And she thought they were joking, but they actually did. That's when all of our manufacturing went overseas. It was a big manipulation of the stock market. And then you had the housing crisis bubble that got they found out the Ponzi scheme was every mortgage that they sold 10 mortgages on one mortgage. It was just unbelievable. And then we had the financial crash. We've had all of these near misses, but we don't have any money. And they said that in order for them to, them being the actuaries that were in charge of the all the pensions and such things, and even Social Security, they said we can never recoup what we lost or even keep it afloat without lowering. Somehow we have to lower the life expectancy of these people. This is back in 96. And consequently, if you look,
right,
the life expectancy of people have gone down since then, miraculously. And then here in 2020, boom, the actuaries are calling, you know, the canary in the mine is like, oh, my God, we have deaths like a cataclysmic event. And Bill was talking about that, but part of their financial bailout of what they have going on. And I really think that, honestly, everything that's been going on has been a distraction from really what's been going on, is that they have been stealing money left and right and put it into these black ops projects. And she was talking with one of her clients who was in the UK in the 90s, and he was in the stock market, and he's like, oh, my God, I have always been wondering why the stocks went so high in this particular field. And the field was scaffolding, elevator shafts, and such things like that. And he goes, oh, it just clicked. They have been, it was, we weren't even building things. So where is this coming from? They've been building these underground military bases and underground cities, and you've seen the videos where they have these tunneling machines. All the money has been going underground into military operations, and they don't want us to know about this. And here they are, you know, talking about this great, you know, the inflation, and as if we have money. It's like, we don't. They stole it all away from us. And here, ironically, what industry are they weaponizing right now? They're weaponizing the IRS with, you know, the qualifications to be armed and use deadly force if need be, because we can't, it's like vampires with blood. They can't get enough of our money because they're just stealing it and putting it other places. It's unbelievable. What are your thoughts on this, I wonder? Because I was just like, wow. I was wowed.
The IRS, my husband's really upset about the IRS thing. Like, it's not like we cheat or anything. I have a business. I have like a 1099 business, I guess, with, cause I do wag walking.
Right.
So, you know, now they're going to start, you know, probing everybody's Venmos and stuff like that. And it's just nuts. My husband's scared. I'm like, I don't do money. Like I don't have investments that aren't tangible, right? I've got houses that are trust, right? So, but the mm-hmm. money stuff, I don't like have a retirement account. I don't have, you know, none of it. Savings. I don't even have a bank account. Really. I do my stuff on Venmo. And so everything that I have, like, so now they're going to be like, you know, so like, for instance, I get child support and that goes on my Venmo.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are going to, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to start looking at that and be like, well, what are you hiding? It's like, no, it's child support, you know, like, but now they've got to be in that. That's not a taxable income. That's not their jurisdiction.
Right.
But now for some reason I'm going to be audited, but maybe, who knows, like, but because it hasn't started up yet. My hope is that, you know, even though I haven't really given up on the political structure, the right isn't going to come and save us from the left. It's the establishment is there, and it's not going to go away by, you know, voting for, you know, purple party. But in this instance, I really am liking this, you know, this red wave that everybody sees coming. You know, if only because we know that they'll probably do some measures to overturn most of this stuff if they get power in the House, and hope, you know, the Senate, I guess, is a little more questionable, but they're definitely going to take the House. So, you know, hopefully they can help us out a little bit with that. But honestly, like, I'd rather just plant food, because I don't really think, like, all of the writing is on the wall. I don't think that, you know, I guess necessarily worrying about things like money and IRS and what could happen, right? I focus more on, am I going to, you know, what am I going to do for the fall? And I don't mean autumn. You know, am I going to be ready for what's coming? The writing is everywhere. This country, as we know it, is collapsing. And like Lily says, I try to not feed the luge and be negative. I try to, raise our vibrations by creating things and not worrying about, not worrying about what's happening. What I'm doing for my retirement, for, you know, when things are different, is I'm going to make sure my family's got food. You know, I'm going to make sure my family's got, you know, a drinking water source. Right? Those things to me long term are more important than, you know, a 401k or a, you know, savings account. Right. I don't think that.
And what preparations
money's not
have
gonna
you
be...
made for that?
What's
I'm
that?
With you. Hey.
And I interrupt. I've been listening. And I've been, disagreeing with a lot of what you've said. The reason why is because I'm not saying that what you're saying is, you know, is bullshit. I'm just saying that I'm disagreeing with it because I think that all of you are trying to be too optimistic. You're all talking about the fall. Yet you all believe in the New World Order and the cabal. Now, here's my viewpoint. The mission of the cabal, ever since the Rothschilds have taken over central banking hundreds of years ago, is to create chaos and disorder. When they do create the chaos, and I think it's happening in a few years, it's going to be of such a cataclysmic proportion that it's going to resemble Mad Max. And I say that literally. And the reason why is because all the government has to do under the control of the cabal is just to have a series of rolling blackouts in California, which will then spread out throughout the nation. And when you have these blackouts, that means no electricity. When you have no electricity, you have no water coming into your house because the faucets run on electricity. So what are you going to do? You have to find a water source. Where are you going to find a water source? Right. Where are you going to find this water source if they never? I'm sorry? Where?
Oh, I said I'll have solar panels, so my electricity will be on. However, we also have a desal system, you know, so we can even, we live, one of the things about being right next to the ocean, you can't drink it, but you can desalinate it and drink it that way. So that's,
if
and we're,
you have,
but, you know, less
you
than a mile from the beach.
You have a full-scale desalination plant.
yes, we do.
The thing is, you have a full-scale desalination plant so that you can take the ocean water and you can make it into potable, drinkable water. If you have that, that's good. Then you're prepared to drink. If you know how to hunt, you're prepared to eat. If you know how to grow food, you're prepared to have vegetables. Or are you prepared for the hordes of gangs that are going to populate the streets? That are going to spread out into the suburbs.
We are.
You are.
We are not ignorant of what could happen. We don't believe in the cabal. We acknowledge their existence and we see what they want to do. And we are not going to just be like, oh my God, we've already established, you know, I'm not afraid of the dark. I have candles. It's not going to be a shocker. We all know this is what they want, and everything is chaos right now. They've already, I mean, my God, they can't get any more chaos, but it could get. And
yes,
I know what you're
talking
about.
I just described it.
But
if they have the blackout,
to know what your enemy is capable of is in order to survive and fight every little blow. They're going to be hitting the air because it's not going to be the element of surprise. We already know what they want to do. We already know.
Exactly.
And you're prepared for it. So if I go to your house with a gang, if I'm a member of Hell's Angels and I go to your house knowing you have food, you're prepared to you're going to kill everybody in my gang.
We're all prepared to defend ourselves. No one is not without resources.
Are you prepared to kill my gang? Because I'm prepared to kill you.
I'm not going to engage
in violent acts unless it's.
Well, what do you think the Hell's Angels is all about?
I'm not scared of the Hell's Angels.
To that point,
I have connections.
Because
I'm scared
we live
of them.
In a civilized society, I really don't see the crumbling into a Mad Max society. That's Hollywood. That's a Hollywood scenario, just like the aliens.
So you think that the fall is only going to be something like the Depression, and eventually we'll all get out of it?
I think we're not going to be able to get out of this until we turn our back on the system.
During the Depression, people didn't kill each other in the streets. You notice that?
Yeah, but that's not what he's saying. I think what Joe's saying is that he thinks it's going to be way worse than the Depression. And he's possibly right.
To your point, Joe, I
think that there's going to be much more of that resource, threat, right? People will, when they get desperate, they do desperate things. I understand that. I think in warmer places, I think that we are already, there's food already growing all over the streets in San Diego. And that's because of me and
I've heard
of other
that
people.
Before. I know, but Elizabeth and Danielle, if you're going to grow food, that's fine. But if I know about it and I'm hungry and I'm the leader of my local bicycle gang, and I'm talking about outlaws, okay? I'm not talking about somebody's rumbling down the street on hogs just because we like hogs. I'm talking about people who are going to say, oh, let's get them. I come over to your community. You've got food growing. You have shotguns, AR-15s inside your houses. And I come over there and I say, good, you've got my food, you've got my water, you've got my money. Bring it outside. You don't want to bring it outside. And you think that's not going to happen?
No, it could potentially happen. Hold on one second, Elizabeth.
Groups of people who have no food right now, people who have nothing. There's 200 of them living there in my town. They have absolutely nothing, and they're not out killing people. They are living their lives.
Not now, they're not, but if you have the blackouts, what do you think is going to happen to America in 1 week when nobody has electricity? Now, a few people might have solar panels, and maybe they might store up enough energy during the dark and during thunderstorms, maybe. But during the normal from coast to coast throughout all of America, if we have these blackouts, what do you think is going to happen in 1 week? You are not going to see just lootings of the stores. You're going to see – what do you think happened when there was a rush on toilet paper? What do you think is going to happen when the truckers can't come and deliver food, when the ships stop
sailing? We'll have a lot of food because it all comes from California.
That's being very optimistic. Now, the Hell's Angels
I'm optimistic.
And the
monks. I understand your point, though. I'm optimistic,
okay.
But I do understand. I'm sorry to keep cutting you off, and I'll let you talk in a second. I do understand what you're saying to a certain point, because there are a lot of other places who are not as prepared as we are here in my community, and so you know, long, I mean, I'll let you talk now, but that's all I have to say, like, about my situation. You know, solar panels, yes, it's not something that everybody has access to, and you're right about cloudy days. We don't have cloudy days here, you know, and we have plenty of solar panels, and everybody has solar panels. We've got solar panels on the top of our parking structures. They're just everywhere. So, you know, with the right battery, which is very easy to get for most people, California will actually be okay at the beginning of this. I do worry about the rest of the country. It's going to be probably pretty bad for most places. So I'll give you that.
With all due respect, may I interject something?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Okay, but because, you know, I think that there's a distinction that needs to be made. Like, it is obviously the art of war. You must know your enemy, and you cannot be prepared unless you know what your enemy is willing and capable of doing. And we already know this. How, and you know, we have extensively studied. However, there's a difference between being prepared and being consumed by the fear of what might happen or what they would like to do or could potentially do. And I would just like to caution that, you know, the reason that broadcasting things and having these movies and television shows is so important to these people is because they cannot create anything. They're like AI. They can only copy and paste what has already been created, but they cannot create anything new. And so they rely on us to create these things for them. When we feed into fear about things, not just like not being prepared, which is always important, but actually, like, you know, believing that these things are going to be so terrible, then you play into their hand that they want you to do by manifesting for them that this is going to be the future, rather than realizing that part of the importance and part of the reason of why we share information with each other and do radio shows like this is because we could have a society where we just have to kill each other to defend our resources, or we could educate people and build communities and defend each other and be able to feed each other and distribute resources in a better way. Obviously, like, whatever happens in the future with these blackouts and things, a lot of people are going to die, most unfortunately, especially in big cities. However, I don't think it's going to be so much. Maybe in big cities people will kill each other, but I don't think it's going to be a lot of, like, outlaw biker gangs that you're talking about traveling to rural areas and killing everybody for their resources, because I really don't think those people are prepared to make it that far. And that's why, you know, being able to defend yourself is important. Like, we don't advocate violence, but that doesn't mean that we don't know how to utilize violence in the defense of our families and our property, you know.
Yeah,
and so
I
just
yeah,
think
I
that
I
also think it's important to focus on the prophecies, you know, that tell us what will happen, as well as realizing that if there are 13 evil bloodlines, which we know that there are, controlling everything, natural law and the law of correspondence tells us that there have to be an equal amount of people who are just as powerful or more powerful than that, than those 13 bloodlines, that are benevolent and assisting us with the situation. So that's all I just wanted to add.
Okay.
And I'd
well,
like to interject that
yeah.
when we have catastrophes, because there are catastrophes everywhere. Society does not break down into a mob mentality. We band together and help each other. So when the lights go out and the food is gone, I really don't see my neighborhood turning into a bloodthirsty carnivorous mob. We're going to band together like human beings and help each other. We'll all be in the same boat. So I think you're watching too many movies. I love you to death, but I don't see that happening. I just don't. And that's why I think when we go to the positive side, that is what you will manifest, because people are basically good and we all want the same things. I think it's a very low denomination and a very small number of people.
But take a look at the world around you, and take a look at 1933 Germany. Take a look at Armenia. Take a look at the Roman Empire, the Ottoman Empire. Take a look at Venezuela. Take a look at Cuba. Take a look at Russia. And that's not the highest common denominator of people. That's normal human nature. And when if, again, if you believe in the New World Order and the cabal and their particular mission to have the world depopulated down to 500 million and to do it in that particular way, the 13 bloodlines, and to think that people are going to, in a world of starvation, they're going to help you out when their family is starving. And you think that up and the other caller or the other hostess thinking that people are not going to go to the outer communities in order to find food or just to find new turf. You're positive.
Kentucky right now. In Kentucky, Kentucky has been flooded and decimated. People are coming from other communities to help them. That right there tells me that we're never going to sink into Mad Max. We just aren't. We are not raised that way. We are not that society. And in Venezuela, and they are rallying against the oppressor, which would be the government. They're not killing each other. They're banding together in mobs to overthrow their government. In the Philippines, they're swimming in the palace pool.
Yes, in Australia, they're doing the same thing, and also over here.
They're having fun with each other, and they have nothing but they're swimming in the pools.
The human population from the time of the Neanderthals has been nothing but conflict, simply because some people have gotten together to create cities and to create inventions. It's great. It shows a side of not only America, but of the world population. But when you take a look at the population of the world and the history of the world as a whole, it's nothing but conflict. What's going on now between the Ukraine and Russia is nothing new. That's been going on for at least 8 years. And when I mentioned the Ottoman Empire, Armenia, Roman Empire, etc., everybody thought it can't happen here. Same thing with Germany. It can't happen here. The communists have already taken over the government. And the communists, to me, are headed by the 13 families. So if you all want to think that it can't happen here and everybody's going to band together and sing Kumbaya out of desperation, that's fine. You have your opinion. My opinion is that out of desperation, people are going to seek not only food for their families, but it's going to be a prime-time operation for the military, which will be under the control of the cabal, and for gangs, outlaw gangs in particular, to try to take control of the streets. And they will do it because the American people are civilized enough not to have that kind of Mad Max mentality, but it's going to be forced upon them, like I said, in my opinion. But I'm negative. So that's me.
I understand and respect your opinion. My opinion is different because I cannot control the actions of other people, of the 13 bloodlines, of, you know, desperate outlaw weirdos that want to control other people. I can't control any of that. What I can control is my reaction. So at the beginning of food shortages occurring, you know, I was seeing all these people in survival groups talking about how they were going to have to eat their neighbors if it came down to that. And my response was always, you know, I could be a psycho and eat my neighbors, or I could just grow more food and get more chickens and figure out how to preserve food better and provide it for them, right? If we can show people, because people are good, the belief that human nature is anything less than beautiful and creative and good is a falsehood taught to us for thousands of years by those 13 bloodlines and their ancestors. That's not the truth about human nature that was created by a divine creator, right? And so people want to do good things. They just get scared and they panic and they don't know what they're doing. So obviously you have to utilize caution and have a way to defend yourself and your family and your property. But if you teach people how to forage, how to grow their own food, how to have some backyard chickens, then that's what they'll do. They would much rather do that if you teach them how to distill water. And if we create systems now, while things are not in, you know, a Mad Max kind of chaos, and we start bartering with each other now and building our communities now, we don't have to worry about any of those things. There will be enough of us
that we will be able to withstand any of them.
Okay. Now that's if the fall doesn't come down to the Mad Max scenario. But if it does, then everything that you've said is going to be fly right out the window. Human nature is such.
True.
Let me give you a hypothetical situation. Let's say there's a group, let's say 100 years from now, 100 years, space travel has advanced to Star Trek types of capabilities. And a spaceship of explorers has gone to another planet, and they see on that planet a bunch of civilized inhabitants. They also see on that planet $13 trillion worth of uranium, plutonium, gold, etc. Do you think that these explorers from any country, okay, of any religion, of any stripe, when they get to that planet and they know that about $13 trillion worth of minerals are there, and if they try to bargain with the inhabitants, and if the inhabitants tell them, well, we don't want anything from you, and these minerals you want, they're underneath our sacred tribal lands, we don't want to give them up. How long do you think it'll take for the explorers to say, later for this, I'm taking your crap?
Okay. Well, my response is that it depends upon who those explorers are, right? Because the explorers and colonizers that we could compare them to are the 13 bloodlines that are not human. So they do not possess human nature or human characteristics. So if they were non-human 13 bloodlines, then sure, they would take it. If they were humans, I don't believe that they truly would.
So the normal explorers, they would just say, I'm okay, I understand, and then they would just leave the planet.
No, they would find innovative ways to be able to trade with them or to create. I think people don't want to live in a society that's backwards like this and materialistic in this way. I think that most people, if given the chance and they knew that they could do it without, you know, starving to death or dying of diseases that they believe that they'll die of, I think that they would much rather live in a society where we're not basing anything on material value and monetary value, but instead everybody is able to do what they want within the guidelines of natural law so they cannot hurt other people or their property, but they can live how they want, do whatever they want, be left alone, trade if people want to trade with them. I really truly believe that most people would rather do that.
I know that. I know that's your belief.
I'm going to say that if they've got enough advanced technology and that would probably be the last thing they're going to do. You're operating on
a low-level
warlike mentality. And if
oh, my gosh, can you hear me? Is this thing on?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. I have something to say. Hold on. When you said that these people could be of any government, any stripe, or any religion, you kind of identified who these people are. These are people who are enslaved by a thought process that keeps them that way and has kept them that way basically throughout human civilization, human history. And really, it's there's a really great clip, and I may play the first 6 minutes of it just because it explains exactly what you're saying. You're talking about people who have been, basically human farming, right? Like we are the resource that these explorers, if these explorers were slaved by these 13 bloodlines, they would not be able to recognize their enslavement.
By the very,
people think
by the very fact that I had said any stripe, any religion, any government meant anybody and everybody of the entire human race on Earth. You can make it Boy Scouts. You can make it missionaries of Jesus Christ. You can make them Buddhists.
Yeah.
You can make them anybody you want. Now, they come across 13.
No, maybe
13...
not anybody. Go ahead. You go ahead, because I'm going to set up a little
clip. Right.
So you go ahead and
So here's a bunch of explorers, and they've come across the planet whose weaponry is about 200 years lesser than theirs, plus the peaceful inhabitants anyway. And they see $13 trillion worth of minerals that they can bring back to planet Earth and get $13 trillion divided up against amongst maybe 100 explorers on the spaceship. What you all are telling me is that, well, if they're going to do any harm, they have to be infected by the 13 bloodlines. Come on. Huh?
Well,
take a look at
that. No matter what.
What I'm saying
no
in a nutshell
what,
is that, that all of human nature is such that you can be from Boy Scouts, you can be missionaries from Jesus Christ, and you're going to take the minerals away from the very peaceful inhabitants. Because that's the way human nature is. If
okay,
human
right,
nature rules the planet, okay?
Yeah. I would love your opinion on this. This is something that I've,
right.
you know, played for. I used to do live streams. I played this so many times. I played this on my show here. This is just the first 6 minutes of a thing by Stefan Molyneux. I think I'm saying his name right. It is called The Story of Your Enslavement. So just hear me out for the first 6 minutes.
Yeah, he's an anarchist. I know. He's an anarchist. I know of him. Okay.
Before you play that, Daniel, the guy, you're operating on the level that everyone operates on, the level of greed. And we're talking about governments, rulers.
I know. Okay, the video.
Always fought and conquered, right? And to go back to what Plato has.
Okay, wait, no. I want to play this. I'm sorry. I'm getting impatient because there's a lot of people.
Every man that wants to rule over another man is nothing more than a parasitic, miserable individual. And that would be not the population that lives there, but the one who wants to rule. So
okay, there we go.
I don't go through with the human nature thing.
We're running out of time. Clip time. Hold on.
This is the story of your enslavement, how it came to be, and how you can finally be free. Like all animals, human beings want to dominate and exploit the resources around them. At first, we mostly hunted and fished and ate off the land, but then something magical and terrible happened to our minds. We became, alone among the animals, afraid of death and of future loss. And this was the start of a great tragedy and an even greater possibility. You see, when we become afraid of death, of injury and imprisonment, we become controllable and so valuable in a way that no other resource could ever be. The greatest resource for any human being to control is not natural resources or tools or animals or land, but other human beings. You can frighten an animal because animals are afraid of pain in the moment, but you cannot frighten an animal with a loss of liberty, with torture or imprisonment in the future. Because animals have very little sense of tomorrow. You cannot threaten a cow with torture or a sheep with death. You cannot swing a sword at a tree and scream at it to produce more fruit, or hold a burning torch to a field and demand more wheat. You cannot get more eggs by threatening a hen, but you can get a man to give you his eggs by threatening him. This human farming has been the most profitable and destructive occupation throughout history, and it is now reaching its destructive climax. Human society cannot be rationally understood until it is seen for what it is: a series of farms where human farmers own human livestock. Some people get confused because governments provide health care and water and education and roads, and thus imagine that there is some benevolence at work. Nothing could be further from the reality. Farmers provide health care and irrigation and training to their livestock. Some people get confused because we are allowed certain liberties and thus imagine that our governments protect our freedoms. But farmers plant their crops a certain distance apart to increase their yields and will allow certain animals larger stalls or fields if it means they will produce more meat and milk. In your country, your tax farm, your farmer grants you certain freedoms, not because he cares about your liberties, but because he wants to increase his profits. Are you beginning to see the nature of the cage you were born into? There have been four major phases of human farming. The first phase in ancient Egypt was direct and brutal human compulsion. Human bodies were controlled, but the creative productivity of the human mind remained beyond the reach of the whip and the brand and the shackles. Slaves remained woefully underproductive and required enormous resources to control. The second phase was the Roman model, wherein slaves were granted some capacity for freedom, ingenuity, and creativity, which raised their productivity. This increased the wealth of Rome, and thus the tax income of the Roman government, and with this additional wealth, Rome became an empire, destroying the economic freedoms that fed its power and collapsed. I'm sure that this does not seem entirely unfamiliar. After the collapse of Rome, the feudal model introduced the concept of livestock ownership and taxation. Instead of being directly owned, peasants farmed land that they could retain as long as they paid off the local warlords. This model eventually broke down due to the continual subdivision of productive land and was destroyed during the enclosure movement when land was consolidated and hundreds of thousands of peasants were kicked off their ancestral lands because new farming techniques made larger farms more productive with fewer people. The increased productivity of the later Middle Ages created the excess food required for the expansion of towns and cities, which in turn gave rise to the modern democratic model of human ownership. As displaced peasants flooded into the cities, a huge stock of cheap human capital became available to the rising industrialists, and the ruling class of human farmers quickly realized that they could make more money by letting their livestock choose their own occupations. Under the democratic model, direct slave ownership has been replaced by the mafia model. The mafia rarely owns businesses directly, but rather sends thugs around once a month to steal from the business owners. You are now allowed to choose your own occupation, which raises your productivity, and thus the taxes you can pay to your masters.
Okay, so that's just the first half of that, but I don't want to bore everybody with, you know, almost 13 minutes of this. So does that answer your question? Like, the stripes are really important because they're part of this farm. They're still livestock, right? They're going there on behalf of the 13 bloodlines. We're not talking about regular Joe Schmo. Like, if we're talking about, you know, going in and just, you know, taking resources, you nailed it, Joe, when you said that that our point was that anybody who would follow these rules and or do these things, you know, take over, destroy land in order to get resources, all of those people are part of or influenced by the 13 bloodlines. Yes, that's what we're saying. But as this veil, you know, gets thinner and thinner, and more people see the end coming. We've been for years now trying to get people prepared so that there isn't any desperation. You know, does that make sense? That's basically the point why we can still be optimistic.
Yeah, if right.
If that point of desperation you just mentioned doesn't come about, then there will be cooperation amongst people who will be near desperation because they need food for their families, they'll need gas for the cars, and they'll need bartering chips. I'm talking about it's going to go beyond that. All of you are believing, optimistically, that if a fall does come, it will only stop at a certain level. It would only stop at maybe a little bit beyond 1934 recession, and it won't go beyond that because human nature is good. I'm saying that if we get to near desperation and the 13 bloodlines, which exist today, but they didn't exist all the way back in antiquity, okay? The 13 bloodlines have existed for a few centuries, but we've been around for longer than a few centuries. And from that time onward, we've seen nothing but conflict. I'm saying human nature is such that if it gets down to that desperation point, it doesn't matter how good you think that your influence is going to be upon them. They who wanted to cooperate with you at the point of near desperation, once they reach the point of desperation, will now want to rob from you and kill you simply because
I assume all those people are vaccinated and they won't be a problem for very much longer.
Well, that's true because they'll all be dead. Yeah, but that's the bioweapon. Okay?
Yeah.
But
well,
other
I
than that.
It.
No, and Mourinho's message is that governments are, he's an anarchist. He doesn't believe in government. Okay? But he doesn't seem
well,
to realize
that,
that if you have a group of.
Be in power.
He doesn't. No, he's anti-government. People will have to have a government. No matter where they go, if you have a group of 100 people and as a community, you're going to have to form a government in order to solve conflict that will eventually come up between neighbors. You're going to have a standardized system, a judicial system that's standardized. That is the beginning form of government. So you have
well,
to have government.
Well, I'm going to say that we've got some communities that have been springing up in Brazil and in South Africa. It's called the Ubuntu, where they all collectively have something to contribute, and they go back to the tribal way where they it takes a village. There is no theft. There is group.
There's always theft, and in these tribes you're talking about, they have tribal leaders, and they have tribal customs.
We're going in a different direction. We're not going Mad Max, babe. And more people are of that mindset that we're simply not going that way. We're walking away from that.
If there's going to be a blackout, you believe there won't be a Mad Max situation. I believe there will be.
No,
but you believe there won't be.
I don't. You can watch the movies all
okay.
you want. It would have happened.
Right.
It would have happened. We've already had massive crises where people – they come together and work as a community. They just don't go in the opposite direction. So I don't see that happening. And even now, if you haven't been able to take care of yourself after what they've been doing to us for 2 years, if the lights go out for a week.
Not a Mad Max situation.
You know,
the premise of my argument is that if we
I'm
hit,
sorry
that and
you,
I believe
you,
we will,
like you,
if we hit a Mad Max situation.
You want it to happen. And it's something that...
Stop putting words
you,
in my mouth. I'm not saying I want it to happen. I'm telling you that if we have a Mad Max situation, okay?
Personally.
If we have it, that's what's going to happen. You believe that if we hit the Mad Max situation, that for some reason, I mean, that we're not going to hit a Mad Max because people are so good and so cooperative during hard times that we won't reach it. I'm saying... With the cabal now being in charge of the world and the AI, which somebody mentioned before, they're willing to create an AI to rule the entire world, plus the quickening that they are approaching a transhumanist mission. As they approach it, when they want to reach immortality, they are going to bring in a Mad Max situation as part of their mission.
It's not going to happen because if you notice... Around the whole world, people are rising up against this. They can do whatever they want. It's not happening. It's not working.
And you believe
they're
that the people are rising up.
Left and right.
Okay. People are not complaining. They're not afraid.
All right. Okay, if that's what you believe, that's what you believe. If you believe that they're rising up, people protesting.
That's what I see. I see human nature rising above this.
I see people protesting, and I also see that the convoy that went to Ottawa got their teeth busted, their children taken away, their bank account seized, and their gas stolen. I also see that the truckers, which were going to follow that example here in America, disbanded, because I talked to some of the people who were affiliated with the leaders of that movement.
That's not not exactly what we're saying. They're protesting, you know, meaning they want change to the system, but that's not what we're saying. We're saying that we know that the system is going to collapse. We've known it for everybody on this call has known it for a long time. And we've been preparing ourselves, our families, and our communities to withdraw consent, to turn our backs on the system. And once that happens, that is, you know, basically any kind of ism, any kind of government where a handful of people are in control of the majority of people, that handful of people will always be corrupted. We will repeat this cycle until we realize that the majority is in control and the minority will be irrelevant. And, you know, that's what we're talking about.
So how do you
think
that's
going to
happen?
Simple. The power of perception is the only thing that's keeping this afloat. Once people realize, and there's been one thing after another thing after another thing, that shows us that this system has already broken its contract. Whatever contract it had, it's already broken it. So now what does the Constitution say we must do? We have to turn away from it. We have to leave this contract. And once that happens, once a majority of people do that and leave the system is powerless. They can't control us if we don't participate.
So for people not to participate in the normal economic system of the United States and to turn their back on it, what does that exactly mean? They're no longer going to shop at stores. They're no longer going to use their cars to drive down the street. They're no longer going to go to theaters. What exactly does that mean?
I think that any attempt to better our situation automated-wise or, as far like computers or any kind of automated system has been used in the past to hurt people, we could have the same exact society that we have now with, it would obviously take years of preparation, but we have all of the infrastructure there. All we need is to pay people, through cooperation to keep the lights on. We still have, traffic lights. Those are still going to work. We have all of this infrastructure. We just need to stores possibly, but it's the system is that whatever we can produce cooperatively for the community, we do it. Start, and this is a very, very, very complex idea that, so there's really no way to simplify it, all at once, but the first three resources that we have to take back, food, water, part of it, news, and health.
And you can do that in your community. Well, I guess you're doing it, and I know of other people who are doing it in their community, and they think California is going to be the next Garden of Eden. But if you do that, if you put any of your turn your back on the system, especially.
Hello? Oh, I think he's gone. I think he left. Hello?
He might have hit a button.
There?
Let him.
He's gone. He dropped. He dropped the call on accident. He might call back.
He dropped the call? Oh, I'm surprised.
Yeah,
the phone
hung up. So maybe he'll call back. Maybe it was an accident. But,
maybe
it's really important that we don't surround ourselves. I think it's really important that we don't completely surround ourselves with like-minded people. I think it's good to challenge our beliefs. And if that's what Joe brings to this, because we do. We've got such, an idea of where we're going. And we've been, the architect of this thing, all of us have. And the collective are basically signing up every day. So we've been around this and planning for it and building this for years that, I like to see, you know, people who are like, okay, well, now I know what's really going on. Now what the F are we going to do? I want to recruit him. I want to be like, I want to evangelize a little bit. And because honestly, if he knows what's going on, it's a very logical step that he can join us next. He can prepare for it so that Mad Max doesn't come to town, you know?
I agree with you because, you know, we don't have to agree with everyone. We don't have to agree with everyone, but when people force us to question ourselves and they start questioning things that we're saying, that's actually really positive because it allows us to see how strong our arguments are. You know, I mean, just as Socrates did, he asked questions. And, you know, if people could not answer those questions, then they had to either go and search out and find the answers or alter their beliefs.
Yes,
well,
absolutely. So Joe is back. So his phone must have just dropped. So let's let him back in.
What happened?
Hi.
I got disconnected.
I don't know. We were all here. You went away. No. That wasn't. No. I swear to God, nothing from our end. We were all waiting with bated breath for you to finish.
If I had, but I was going to tell Jemana and Lori about their friends and Seeds of Change and how they didn't like people disagreeing with them.
No, actually, we were just, while you were gone, we were just saying that it's really nice to have somebody, you know, who has a different opinion. We obviously, all three of us have the same opinion. And it's really nice to not surround ourselves all the time with an echo chamber. You know, we have to be able to take questions and entertain other thoughts and ideas, and so we value you. So
was I being too hard on anybody?
No, not being too hard.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. Maybe we're basically, it's like we are the optimists and you're pessimistic, and it does. I think you're pessimistic. Would you call yourself?
Oh, well, yeah. I'm cynical as hell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is it? What do we have to do to sell you on our side? You want to be a part of the cooperative economy? Because that's what we got going on over here.
I'm not against that. I'm not against that. I'm trying to make myself clear in that if it comes down to if we have blackouts and if they persist, I believe that those blackouts are going to be the impetus for a Mad Max society to come in very quickly, because without electricity. Now, of course, with certain communities, you're going to be prepared with solar panels, and that's good. But with those communities that don't have solar panels, even if they were cooperative at one point, with those blackouts, no electricity coming in, they can't get their food from the supermarkets. There will be people. Look, how many people looted Walmart just for sneakers? What do you think they're going to do? And for toilet paper. What do you think they're going to do for food? When the electricity stops and the gas stops, because gas stations operate on electricity. If the gas, if the truckers can't get gas, if they can't get diesel for the boats, right? What do you think is going to happen to the majority of America? That's my point.
Now, if all
three of you believe that even if Mad Max comes, that human nature is such that somehow we'll work our way out of it, I'm going to have to say I disagree. But if you believe in, you know, human nature being of the type that's created the civilizations of socialism, communism, Marxism, the 13 bloodlines, then I think you're going to have to take a look at the future and say, even though we are cooperative, even though we want to help people, there's going to be millions of people in a Mad Max situation who are going to come and try to rob my food and my house.
Yeah. I mean, that is certainly a possibility for the future, which is why I guess we're working our butts off to make sure that Mad Max situation doesn't happen, that we have things in place so that our communities can be fed and given fresh water and given the things that they need, just the basics, right? So, and that's why, again, I start with food, news, and health, because when this happens, we need to have, these cooperations in place and ready to go. I also think I know the electricity thing is really like a sticking point for you, but just like, you know, technology is used more to hurt people than to help people. If it's taken out of the at the hands of these isms, then you know, I think we're going to find out that we're living in the dark ages, and that there's technology out there just combining, you know, different kinds of energy that, you know, could lift stones for the pyramids. You know, like that. I think there is technology that's being hidden from us that could, you know, that are unlimited, you know, renewable, infinite, basically.
Yeah,
energy
they've been
sources
talking about
don't do anything
lately.
What's that?
I know, but it's also under the control of the government. So you would need in your situation would be good scientists who, without the sanction of the government, because the government will survive, okay, during a Mad Max situation, because it's going to be the government that creates it if we have Mad Max. The major sticking point, I think, with you three is that if you have these cooperative communities, that if you have it, and even if Mad Max comes, you'll be able to defend yourselves against the marauders that I believe are inevitable. And
yeah.
I'm thinking if Mad Max comes, you will not be able to defend yourselves.
Okay. Yeah, I would say that security is a resource at that point. And if they, you know, these people who are, you know, now reliant on a community of cooperation, they get food, they get housing, they provide security, you know, and I think that we're not too far off from that. That's a little bit, you know, next level above food, news, and health. So I mm-hmm. don't focus on it a lot, but of course I've thought about, you know, cooperative buildings, you know, especially when this kind of stuff happens. And, you know, and I'm happy to live in a place where it's attainable. You know, we can survive on solar panels here in sunny San Diego. So other places are not going to be so lucky. I totally admit that. I don't think Mad Max is going to happen in Chicago because, you know, that guy, you know, he's going to have to huddle just like everybody else in the wintertime. You know,
Chicago.
Like you have to rely on people, you know, to survive.
Chicago, L.A., Milwaukee, Detroit, they're all going to go first because nobody grows their own food in the cities. Okay.
Well, they do in L.A. There's food all over the sides of the roads in L.A.
Uh-huh. Okay. So then it always breaks down to how are you going to defend it? And everybody believes that somehow you're going to be very successful in defending your food and your property against the people who are desperate for food and against the gangs who just want to kill you.
Well, again, in L.A., like I'm saying, L.A., food is not going to be a problem in L.A. It will be in the other places you listed, but not in L.A.
I'm not talking about, yes, the food, I'm saying the food will be plentiful, but you're going to have to protect it. And
no, it's not if it's growing on the street. That's what it's for.
Okay. And so when the food gets, you know, stolen,
it's meant to be taken. That's why it's on the street.
But are you going to have enough food on the street to feed the people who are the victims of the Mad Max? You're saying you do. You have enough food to take care of everybody? Okay.
Yeah, I think we do. You know, and also that trucker situation. We don't have a winter here, you understand, right? So, and I know you joke about the Eden thing, but we don't have a winter here. And so I have a tomato forest growing in my backyard. I see tomatoes on the side of the road all the time. You know what I mean? Strawberries, there's food growing everywhere. I've got, you know, I can feed a family of four on the potatoes that I have growing on my patio right now. You know, but I'm not going to care if somebody steals it because I've got a farm. You know, what I'm saying is that people won't need to potentially risk their life out of desperation to break into my property to get my food because I'm going to make sure it's growing all over the street. This is a multifaceted plan. You know what I mean? You know, it's all the food is already under a false scarcity narrative. We have plenty of food, especially here. Now, people who have to get, who rely on California to get their food, you know, because the trucks aren't going, that's going to be a little bit more difficult. And I hope somebody in every community who's facing that as a possibility grows food everywhere they can. If it has to be inside, that's fine. All you need is really, you know, fluorescent lights, and you can grow.
All right.
You know?
But you're
I'm
also
not an expert on how somebody in Boston
people...
is going to do it.
Okay. You're also assuming that the people who are going to be a victim of Mad Max are just going to, if they, you know, if they're of the lower level human nature type, are just going to steal your food. What about the fact that they're just plain desperate for either shelter, water, and what about the bikers and the other marauders who are desperate for sneakers? They just might want to come along and kill you just for the sake of killing you.
Yeah, you know, and I'll have to take that risk. I've got some big-ass German shepherds and some guns, so I'm okay protecting my property, you know, but that's cool with that.
We all know what we have, and we have also we have faith in God. We all have faith in God that we'll be protected. What are you going to do during this apocalyptic Mad Max movie?
I'm sure he's got a plan. I've been waiting this whole time to hear your plan.
I am going to find the nearest water source, park my ass there, build a little igloo, and hopefully they won't see my fire. And then if I have other people there who want to join me of like mind, that we might be able to stay and survive there together. But I'm not going near the cities, and I'm not going by the roads. And I am not going to be inside an enclosure, because I'll tell you this. You can have your guns. You can have your German shepherds. But if I want to kill you, I will kill you.
Yeah. Understood.
Think about it.
And, you know,
okay.
And I think it's like there's terminology issues. What you call Mad Max, you know, I call the zombie apocalypse. And I have a different
right.
plan for a zombie apocalypse, you know. Like, I have access to mega yachts, you know. I will take one of those. If we're at that situation, we're at Mad Max or you know, whatever, I'll get one with a helipad. I could pick you up.
How?
I'm not even kidding.
I mean,
access to these things in our...
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll have... Yeah, some people have access to it, but you need gas. Okay? You need
yeah.
electricity. Now, the solar panels mm-hmm. are going to be good for your house, but they're not going to be good for your car. They're not going to be good for your truck. They're not going
mm-hmm.
to be good for ships unless people build them for their small ships, but for major industrial ships, uh-uh. But see, the major thing is
yeah.
that all of you are positive about it, and because of your positivity, you are preparing yourself now. That's good, and you're going to help out your neighbors. But if the Mad Max comes, you're so optimistic, you believe that people are just, at the worst, are going to rob you for your food, you know, maybe go on your property, then move on. I'm saying if a Mad Max comes... It's going to be so desperate. It's going to be like unlike anything we've ever seen.
Yeah.
So you
right.
and I have major
yeah.
differences
and that's
there.
A different.
Okay.
Yeah.
yeah.
And honestly, I think that what really is going on is that we are trying to circumvent this Mad Max reality from happening. I think we all have backup plans in case things really get bad, in case, you know, the army does... military comes in and starts killing people, running people over with tanks, you know, all of these things that,
that's
you know, the worst,
thing.
Worst case in it.
Sure.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
But, you know, and in that situation, you know, I've got my backup plans. I'm not going to stay and have my family killed. We're survivors. We're, that's, you know,
okay.
the reason that we're trying
Good.
To build these communities. Yeah, well, that's the reason we're trying to build these communities up before that kind of a reality has a chance to take hold. I will be... fine. If we have to leave, we
All
know
right.
when to leave.
That's good.
And no, and
how
to
leave. Talking about it before. Yeah, we're just the outlaws, just the people in the street. The worst enemy, well, you know, the most immediate enemy will be the outlaws. The worst enemy is going to be the military. Some people believe the military is going to be on our side. I don't. Okay? I think the military is going to be taken over by the cabal because that would be stupid of the cabal to leave the military in charge of an opposition. You don't make
my
trillions
pessimistic
of dollars.
Thought says that all of the military got jabbed, so we won't really have to worry about them.
Well, not all of them. But those who didn't get them are getting purged out by the hundreds of thousands now. So the people who will be replacing them will be the same as those in 1937 Germany, when the SS got and the police got replaced by criminals, by the criminals. The government said, if you don't want to go to jail, and you can become a cop. So they became the SS and they became the Stasi. Same thing could happen here. I think the same thing happened in Venezuela too, I believe, but I may be wrong on that. But okay, I don't want to beat a dead horse. You all have your beliefs, and hopefully you will be prepared, you know, for the future. I'm just giving you another worst example, worst case scenario.
I'm not afraid of the military. They're too concerned with their pronouns, honey. We don't have a military that anyone's afraid of, babe.
Therefore, when the transsexual with the gun shows up in your house, you can have a discussion with him or her about what and his pronouns are.
I hardly think they're going to scare me. But
their pronouns are going to be were after I shoot them.
We're so far away from Mad Max.
Yeah, well, you're thinking of the zombie apocalypse.
Afraid.
I'm thinking, oh man, the zombies. All you need is a sword. You can cut off their heads. They're too slow to do any damage.
Yeah, the zombies don't worry you. It's the Mad Max. That's the one you're sweating over.
And I must say,
it's great to be prepared. To be too worried, I think, requires a fear of death. And so once we realize that death is not actually a real thing, but just merely a transition, then there's nothing to fear. Like, for me personally anyway, like, I don't really care. I mean, I'm going to do everything in my power to survive so that my children can survive. But, you know, if the military takes over and we're in some, like, impossible situation, then, you know, then I'm just going to pray and, you know, and love my children and go out like that.
Absolutely. And I have to say that in Chicago, there are more churches than there are bars, actually. It's not going to sink into that. I just don't see it. I really don't. And as far as your Hells Angels,
you mean the churches that are 501c organizations that have been bought off by the government so that they can't preach at the pulpit against the government?
Honey, we are feeding more homeless people right now. The communities are coming together. We are feeding people. It's not going to turn around where they're going to be killing each other over food when we have such a knit community of helping people. And your Hell's Angels, there are all these old men on bikes. I'm not afraid of Hell's Angels in these days. I saw the Hell's Angels.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
My dad was in the Hell's Angels.
I'm sorry. I can't run along with that scenario. It was a good movie, but I don't see it as being. I don't see it as being prophetic. I just don't. But
all right.
God bless you. God bless you.
Yeah.
Now, why are you going to not be in the? How do you know with your scenario that they're not going to be? Right, you know, are you going to live like a?
They are. They're
like
going to be looking
ground?
For me. They're going to be looking for
you know,
me. Like
I
they're
don't,
going to be looking for you with satellites and drones.
I don't think it's ever going to happen. I just don't.
Well, you hope it won't.
But
you hope it won't because you believe that human nature is infused with the grace of God. And as a result, even though it's happened in other countries, it won't happen here.
Oh, but remember, that's
right?
The ism part of it. That's the ism part of it, you know. That's
right.
Because there's a small, you know, handful of people that rule the rest of the people, right? And that's you're going to see that happen over and over and over again until we wake up and realize that history doesn't necessarily repeat itself, but it rhymes. And the one common denominator with all of this is that there's a small handful of people in charge of the majority. And that's what has to break. We have to realize that. Once we realize that one thing, that the majority needs to be in charge, then the minority won't have any power. So they only have the power that we give them. So, okay, with that, we've got 10 minutes left.
Oh,
what if we do last statements? You know, I'll let Joe have the last word. Why don't we go with Elizabeth and then Lily and then Joe, and that should be done.
Elizabeth.
Oh, well, I honestly, I see everybody. We already see what they want to do. It's not like we don't know what their machinations are. And all across the world, you have people rising up, banding together, and simply not complying with fish fear. The Dutch farmers all got together and parked their combines in front of the government. They're not going to kill the crop.
Even the Amish are getting involved, Joe. You know shit's real when the Amish are getting involved.
Well, the Amish are always anti-compliant anyway. But I'll wait for my last words.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I see everything they want to happen is coming apart. It's coming apart. And the more they try, the more absurd they look. You can almost hope but not laugh at the next thing they're trying to do. So I'm just going to go with God wins. And I shut your TV off, honey. I love you to death, but, you know, you will manifest what you put out there. You feed into the fears. Fear creates confusion. With confusion, you can't think. I think we're seeing a lot of clear-headed thinkers out there. And as more disasters happen, you're seeing people band together to help people who are surviving the fires. And we have chaos everywhere. You've got fires, you've got floods, you've got mass killings. We're banding together. We're not going, we're human, we're not animals. And I have great faith in God. So that's my last word. Lily, you're next, babe.
I just would like to say that, you know, we know what they want to do. They're anti-life. So if they were going to succeed and we were as helpless as some people think we are, we would already be extinct and we would already be at their 500 million of slaves that they want. But because we're not, and because it takes hope and faith for us to assume every night that we're going to wake up the next day and that we're, you know, we continue to do things, because even when we're not consciously, when some people maybe aren't consciously believing that things are going to be good or we're going to be successful, you know, like the fact that they continue to do anything shows a certain amount of hope. And so, you know, like, I'm just going to exist in hope. I don't think that their plans will succeed. You know, there are the prophecies I'll talk about, this split in the earth between a third earth and a fifth earth, you know, a third kind of nightmare realm and a fifth realm of going back to our roots and the ways of our ancestors and living the way we were meant. And so I just work on manifesting for myself and for the people that I love that we will be in the fifth earth. And, you know, like, all of those terrible Mad Max scenarios will be third earth. But if they're not, you know, we will succeed and thrive through them, just like we have through, and our ancestors have through every single extinction event and genocide. I think it's really beautiful. We are the prayers of our ancestors. So living like that, I think, is really important. And remembering who we are and how powerful we are because of our connection to the great creator, I think, is really a beautiful thing. So I love you guys. Thanks for this conversation.
I love that. And if I could add, feel in the present. Live in the present. Don't live in what is. I think that would be the downfall of everyone. Feel in the present thing. But, yeah. That was good. Joe, it's your turn, sweetie.
Boy, you people are optimistic. God bless you.
We are. Hopefully a little bit will rub off on you, sweetie.
I was going to say, I hope you soak up some.
So, my last words are, I forget, I don't know who the name of the last caller, the last hostess was talking about how, you know, well, we would have been extinct already.
The thing is, the cabal is working on a timeline. I've asked myself, then why haven't we gotten to, because I have the power, why haven't we gotten down to near extinction, you know, at this time? Because they're not ready. When they will be ready is, as I mentioned before, when the transhumanistic type of process will become perfected. Every dictator has wanted to become God. Caligula, Nero, Hitler, Caesar, Stalin, etc. When they accomplish that particular mission through AI, and they'll be able to either through a head transplant, which a surgeon in Italy has been working on the past couple of years, or by digital transference, they become gods because they'll fuse themselves into the bodies of robots, and you ought to see the robots that are out here now. You won't be able to detect them from humans. So when they do that, that'll be their mission. They'll have achieved immortality in their minds, and they won't need humans anymore, except maybe either as an experiment or as a source of energy. And then, since they already have the power, they'll pull the switch, and that'll be it. Now, to be prepared for it, sure, as much as possible. But to think it can't happen, or to think that even if it does, that somehow the people who have risen up are going to have enough power to overcome the military with their tanks and their radar and their sonar and their satellites and their lasers and their drones, well, you're going to need God. That's about the only way that's going to happen. His intervention.
Yeah, okay, but these – okay, I'm sorry. I'm just interrupting
no,
one
I can.
Second. These gods can – thank you. But these gods can be taken out by a super soaker full of barbecue sauce, you know? Like, don't tell me how I know that, but, you know, just carry a super soaker full of barbecue sauce.
No, I'm not
going to
ask.
Okay. I have to kill you. I make light of this stuff, but, like, honestly, you know, robots are not something that I fear. What I fear are people not getting into this, you know, getting onto this boat that we have. You know, I think that's going to be, they have to have people, or they would have killed us all off by now. And once we all realize that we, you know, we have strength in numbers and that we do outnumber them, the sooner we can realize that this threat isn't as scary as it could be, you know. And by the way, you can't mix up Mad Max and Terminator. That's two different movies. And there's a little bit of the Matrix in there, too. So, like, there's all of these, fears that they're you know, preying on that we can very easily just choose to not participate in. And that's really what we're trying to do is set up a reality that is a higher vibration than any AI that they can throw at us. So with that, you know, it was another great show. Thank you, Joe, so much for calling in. We always like to hear the other side. Lily, Elizabeth, Mom, thank you guys so much for contributing. We, you know, every week we love and respect everything that you say. Please share this if you can, and tune in next week to see the change. Thanks, and have a great week. Love you all. Bye.
You
and
everybody be safe.
Week.
All right.
Joe, you take care of yourself, buddy. Have a good week, buddy. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All
love you all.
Take care.
Oh, and you know what? Your homework. I want you to watch the homework. No more magic.